across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
Evening, dear listener. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Ash. It's Ian Lee. Talk Radio. A busy show tonight. £8 for a packet of stamps. £8. I couldn't believe it. And John Ronson will be on. All of that and more after we get a bit of news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I'll play.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a man so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building. I might roll a brand new car. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star. I've never spent much time in school, but I taught ladies plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay. Hey, hey, I've gotten burned over Cheryl Teagues, blown up for Rocky Welch. But when I wind up in the hay, it's only hay. Hey, hey, I might jump an open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuff. It makes Eastwood look so fine.
Now, hang on a minute. I thought so. The microphone wasn't facing the mouth. The microphone wasn't facing the mouth, guys. Evening, Ian Lee, Talk Radio. Busy show tonight at 11:30. I see why, because look, this has gone loose. Hang on a second. This has gone a little bit loose. Hang on. Oh, we've broken it again. Ed, you're going to have to come in and fix it, dude. Hang on. Who'd have thought a brand new studio that would break so quickly? Ed's going to have to come in and fix it. Is he coming in or is he... No, I'm going to stay here. I ain't moving. I ain't moving. Can you fix it for us?
Yeah, I can, dude.
Good lad. You fix it. And while that's going on, I'm just going to close the blinds because I like it a little bit more private. Actually going out on the radio. Who'd have thunk it? Stay there, Alan. Stay there, Carl. We'll find out if Alan... hang on a second. I can talk to him. Alan!
Hi, Ian!
You must be a multi-millionaire from now.
Fight off.
Well, hang on a minute. You had £1,000 that you were going to...
500.
All right, £500 that you were going to bet on a horse that was, what, 40-1?
No, 8-1.
Well, no, hang on a minute. When you first gave us the odds, and I apologise for shouting, but the microphones aren't working.
It broke again.
Sorry?
Broke again.
I'll break you in a minute. No, hang on, because this is not facing me.
I'm not talking about the studio.
There we go. We'll see how we go. It's not because this... because, look, you notice this is moving, you see? You see? Hang on. It was about 40-1 when we first spoke.
No, it was 12-1.
All right. And you have £500...
Yeah.
Right, and it came second.
But I didn't have it each way, I had it to win.
Oh, you twit. You massive twit.
Because when I was angry, the rain was coming down and it made the ground even softer, which slapped his odds even more from 9-1 to 8-1 joint.
So do you put £500 on each for it to win?
At 8-1.
And it came in second, mate. Hang on, we've got to make sure I'm talking into the right bit. There we go. There we go.
When we were jumping and laughed, he was in the lead. I thought, hello, this is in for a good band. But when World War I passed him on the other,
I didn't get any of... I literally didn't get any of that apart from the, oh, no!
When the last time I jumped the last fence...
That's the horse, OK. That's... Yes, OK, yeah.
Oh, but I'm quizzing here.
Yeah.
Well, as they were coming to the elbow...
Yeah.
World of World passed him.
Right. I'm quite bored of this story. What I want to know is, if you'd have bet it each way, How much would you have won?
Well, let's say it's quarter to the odds first four.
Yeah.
So it would be 2-1. 400, it would be 500 at 2-1. That would be a grand.
Flipping it. And you instead you shot 500 quid away.
Oh,
okay,
no.
Okay. Now, don't worry, because remember you had another 250 quid that you were going to bet on another horse. That one must have come in, surely.
No, it was a fall at the chair.
So, how much money have you lost, Alan?
750.
Now, do you remember the little bet that we had where I said if you could have given me that 250 quid...
And I said no deal.
You said no deal, and I said if your horse lost, I'd give you 150 quid back.
And I still said no deal.
You did say no deal, because you're a bit of a plum.
What's the topic for tonight, Ian?
No, the topics are, what would you do with Alan Caddick's 750 quid?
I think there were a few suggestions dotted online.
Yes, yes.
I could get myself an exercise on, because I was in one of the national papers.
Baby.
What?
I was in Saturday Sun.
Baby.
What for? Being a massive plum?
I was riding one of these exercises at Aintree.
Hang on a second, Catherine. We've got some old papers out there. Can we see if we've got? It's a long shot. Bearing in mind,
14.
Yeah. Can we see if we've got Saturday's Sun out there? It's a long. I saw Friday's papers. There might be some of the Saturdays might be there as well. So you were in. By the way, we'll start the show in a bit. 0844-499-1000.
I'll call you back.
Thank you. Call you something. What were you in the Sun for?
Because there was a picture of me riding a wooden horse.
Oh, crying out loud. Why were you riding a wooden horse, mate?
Because I wanted to see what it was like to be a jockey riding a horse.
The thing is, though, I don't know if you've noticed, Alan, jockeys tend not to get splinters in their arse.
Well,
because they're riding, they are riding,
anyway.
they are riding what can only be described as real horses.
Well, I was 10 stone overweight anyway.
You would have crushed the horse.
No, but...
So you've basically dropped 750 quid.
Yeah, an entry.
What do you do for a living, Alan?
I'm unemployed. It's money from a taxpayer. Hello?
Yeah. Okay. And how do you think... If we were another radio station, we'd now turn this into a hate phoning against you. And that's not what we do here. It would be Katie Hopkins having a pop saying, "Right, phone in." This I think it's great. Listen, the stuff I used to buy with when I was signing on. Oh man, alive! You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. Good for you, Alan. And I am happy to support your downfall.
Thank you, Ian.
Absolute pleasure,
what
buddy.
What topics have we got tonight?
Tonight's topics are... I've written them on... Oh, they're on my phone. OK, I'll try and remember them. Guess how much a pack of 12 first-class stamps cost?
Well, I know one stamp costs 63 pence.
Right, so multiply that by 12, what you get?
£7.99.
£7.68 for a packet of stamps. I couldn't believe it. I was in the post office. I said, no, I only want 12. She said, yeah, I know. It's 8 quid for a packet of stamps, Al.
Blimey.
That's outrageous. Here's another thing. 0844-499-1000. Here's another thing. The Moscow State Circus...
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah. ...is, at some point in the near future, going to be near me, right?
Yeah.
I thought I'd take the boys to that. I'll take the boys to see the circus.
Yeah.
So me and two kids...
Yeah.
Have a guess how much me and two kids to go to the circus will cost.
Well, I think it would be about £15 for an adult, children 5 to 16.
It's the Moscow State, it's not Jerry Cottle.
I would say about 35 for an adult, 25 for a child.
Yeah. So what would that be in total?
85 quid?
110 quid.
Blimey!
110 quid? To go and see the Russian state, the Moscow State Circus.
Scandalous.
For me and a six-year-old, the four-year-old won't even remember it.
Scandalous.
It's outrageous. And they're not allowed to have animals in anymore.
Oh, no.
So that's another thing. I want to know if I want to know because listen, I've made the mistake many times. One of the biggest mistakes I ever made in my career, Alan, was I slagged off Tom Daley's television show Splash, right, without watching it, and then I watched it and it blew my mind because it was brilliant. So I want to know if the circus is any good.
Well, I don't know. I've never been to see the Moscow State Circus, so I'm in the same boat as you.
Blimey. Third thing. Just think, you could have afforded to go to that circus 7 times with 2 kids.
Well, I could probably take me mum and dad for OAP rates.
Yeah, probably. Third thing. You see how arrogant those lifeguards are?
Yeah.
I feel I'm losing you a little bit, Alan.
All right, I'm back.
And we'll be talking about Bums and Winkles.
About Yodel and I assume Course to Air at midnight?
Why not?
I mean, guys, get calling. You know the number?
What is it?
0844 499 1000.
Thank you, Alan. Lifeguards, seriously. We went swimming today. And, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Apart from the 084, he's right, there's the phone number. We'll give you a call back as well. John Ronson coming on at 11:30. Apart from the arrogance of the lifeguard. The thing about lifeguards, they're kids. They're kids doing it. They've got to be like 19, right? I have never seen a lifeguard save a life. I've never seen it. I don't, seriously, and I'm good, all right, I could be treading on thin ice here. Who's ever drowned at a public bath? Now, don't phone me up and say, well, my nana did. Don't do that. But really, statistically, I reckon public swimming baths have got to be safer than flying in an aeroplane. They've got to be. They've got to be. I've never seen any trouble. The only trouble I've seen in a swimming bath was when my son puked up and I had to make a decision, an immediate decision. Do I alert the lifeguards? No, I just swished it away. Just swished it away, because it wasn't solid. It was kind of milky. I just swished it away, and it went. The chlorine eats it all up. That's sick in that swimming pool, because of the chlorine. It's probably cleaner than your face. So, but they are so... So there's water slides at this swimming pool, like big slides, right? And they don't open till 4. So we got there, and we're ready. And then we noticed about 10 to 4, big queue started. Kids started queuing, right? And the lifeguard, he was just pushing kids back. There's a barrier there, so they couldn't go up the stairs until he said they could. And he's like, oi, you, back. Get back. I'm thinking, you're about 6 minutes older than they are. And he's really, get back. And I looked at him with disgust and contempt, to be honest, because I just thought, come on. It's that test, isn't it? It's that experiment they did where they put a load of people, the prison test, where they put 30 people as prisoners and 30 people as prison guards in a prison. And they all, like within 3 days, they fell into their roles and the prison guards were beating up the prisoners and they had to stop it. Can't remember what it's called. Oh, blood, they're all coming out of the woodwork today. Look. And it's the same thing. If you give a 19-year-old a bright yellow top and some white shorts and flip-flops, they're going to turn into Hitler. It was incredible. 0844-499-1000. And so there's... Hang on, I'm just trying to remember. So the lifeguards. And... Oh, yeah. Bobby?
Yeah?
Oh.
Sorry.
You all right?
I'm good.
You going to spit that out?
I didn't have anything to spit out.
Okay, it sounded claggy to me.
Carry on.
Good day?
Yes, very.
It's about to get worse.
Okay.
What are you, 38?
Cheeky sod. No, I'm 25.
Get out of town. Well, then, you're exactly the right age for this question, okay?
Okay.
When you used to go swimming with your parents, I hope you had parents, but whoever, the responsible adult that took you swimming, right?
Yep.
Did they say... You can't go swimming if right. So you have your lunch, right? And you say, "I want to go swimming now." And they say, "Well, you can't go swimming for an hour."
Yes, my nan used to.
Thank you. Your nan used to, right?
Yeah.
Who says that now? Nobody says that
now.
So does that mean this means one of several things, right? One, your nan was lying. I don't think she was a liar. I bet she was lovely, right? Two, that she was wrong, or three, that food and swimming technology has advanced so much that we can eat food and go swimming instantly after, or four, that we're putting our lives at risk now by having a sandwich and then diving in?
MythBusters actually busted it.
Did they?
Yeah.
MythBusters took it. Oh, I'll have someone having a pop on Twitter for stealing that idea as well. They met Bobby, stay there. We'll find out exactly how MythBusters busted that myth after this.
Late Night Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So the question is it true that when I was a child... Where are me? Hang on a minute, Bobby.
Yep.
Where are my pills? Oh, blimey, I've not got my pills. Instead, I've got... Oh, no, I've got me. I've got... where are my pills? I've got a blinding headache, and I don't know where my pills are. No, I don't know. I've not got them. Oh, well. Oh, well. This could turn into a very dark show very, very quickly. Huh? No, I'll have a look in the bag when I talk to Bobby. So, when I was growing up, Bobby, I was constantly told, you can't go swimming, you've just had your lunch, you've got to wait for an hour, otherwise you'll die. I've got no pills, look. You think that MythBusters have busted that myth, have you?
I'm pretty sure they did, but I can't remember the episode. Obviously, they ate.
Yes.
And then went and swam.
Oh, hang on, that's not busting a myth, that's just sticking two fingers up at your grandmother.
Well,
that's called that's a different show, and I would genuinely love to see that television program if that were to ever ever take place. But that's not actually busting a myth.
Yeah, but they did it on the program MythBusters. Yeah, I'm not saying that they busted a myth, but
well, hang on, but MythBusters is supposed to be busting myths, right? That's what it's all about.
Yeah,
but they didn't.
What do you mean they didn't?
Well, they went swimming after eating a meal.
Yeah.
Right. And they didn't die.
Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, is that what... Is it, what is supposed to happen to you if you go for a swim half an hour after a sandwich? You die?
No, you don't die. It's meant to be something to do with digestion.
Right.
And apparently it, like, disrupts it and you get, like, bad stomach aches and things like that when it's a load of tosh.
So it is actually a load of tosh?
Yeah.
OK, all right. Well, I'll wait for 499-1000 if anyone disagrees with that. We've got someone on Twitter who said, Paul says, my Portuguese in-laws won't let anyone have a shower for at least 2 hours after eating, let alone swim. Hello? Bobby?
Hello, sorry.
What on earth is going on?
I don't know.
Bobby?
Yeah?
What are you being so distant? Two things. Are you stoned?
No.
Are you an Australian teacher?
No.
Are you listening on the radio?
No.
Well, what's going on?
I don't know. My phone was going weird, so I had to sort it out.
Okay, well, we'll sort it out. What have you called in for? And by the way, I've just retweeted a picture of Alan Caddick riding a wooden horse.
Oh, my God. No way.
Yeah, at Ian Lee, if you want to see it, it is terrifying. Hello. Imagine that face.
Holy moly.
Thank you very much indeed. Imagine that face kind of bearing down on you and pulling away and bearing down on you and pulling away. Wowzers.
No, thank you.
Good for you, Alan. Well done, mate. I'm glad that's actually very, very cool. Anyway, yes.
One thing.
Yes.
In 2010, because that's the only statistic I could find, there were 6 deaths in a swimming pool.
In 1989, no one died. In 1990... No wonder. Have you seen that on the Day Today?
No.
Have you not seen that? Oh, it's brilliant. No. It's Steve Coogan as a security guard in a swimming pool.
Yeah.
In 1989, he goes on and on. In 1999, someone died. In 2000, it's so dumb. So anyway, okay. So swimming pools, it turns out. Well, then lifeguards aren't doing their jobs.
Obviously not. No.
Flipper, Nick. All right. Well, they're arrogant, aren't they? Have you seen the arrogance in their face?
Yes.
Yeah.
They think they're better than everybody else.
And
they're sat on a big seat.
But it's the big seat, isn't it?
Yeah, they're sat higher than everybody else.
And I've said, I want this show, we're in week, is this week four and now? I want this show to be loving and to embrace everything and to... But with, I can't love or embrace lifeguards. Have you ever met a lifeguard?
Neither
have I, Bobby. And I've met people from all walks of life. I've met bin men, I've met rock stars, I've met royalty, I've met all kinds of people, right? I've met David Furnish, right? All kinds of people, right? I've never met a lifeguard. And that makes me suspicious.
No, I haven't.
Bobby, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Ta-ta, bye-bye. I've never met a lifeguard. 0844 499 1000. If you are a lifeguard... give us a call. I don't trust you. Yes, Kyle?
Evening, you all right?
I'm all right, thank you very much. Yes, my sister reminds me that my parents were liars.
Why?
She's just tweeted, and she's listening live in New Zealand, the home of the Fush and the Chubs. She's listening in Titirangi. She says, to be fair, how many times were we told by a parent or grandparent, I can't play with you because I've got a bone in my leg? Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
So well, my nan used to... Go on, sorry.
No, go on, go on.
My nan used to say, don't wear it where your hair wet, because you'll catch your death.
Yep. How many people have actually... Well, I'm not going to ask that, because we might get someone phoning up saying, well, six people died in 2010 of going out with wet hair and actually catching their death. Catching their death. Sweet Lord. 0844 499 1000. What you got for us, Kai?
Can I
stop you there?
Yeah.
I've developed an annoying habit of abbreviating people's names down to one syllable. Kyle. That's two syllables, yeah. Abbreviating it down to one syllable. And I caught myself doing it last week with several callers. And I thought, oh, you've caught that early. You can stop that. And then I've just done it with Bobby, and I've done it with you. I've called you Kai. Which is a hot... Well, no, it's not. Kai is the name, and I'm going to offend some people. It's the name that... I'm not going to say it because I'm being nice and loving. But it's not a very nice name. So I apologise. If anybody spots me abbreviating their name to one syllable, you have permission to ring an alarm or something.
Okay, no worries.
Thank you, Kyle. What have you got for us,
Kyle? Well, hey, I've just seen the picture of Caddick. Truly, truly amazing. I wouldn't have the nerve. Well, why did he agree to have that picture taken?
Oh, it's a cracking picture. It's a cracking picture.
But he's left up for the day, though, hasn't he?
The thing is, he should sell those. 700... 0844 499 1000. What's the most you've ever lost in a day? And it can be on a bet. It can be being ripped off. It can be anything. 750 quid. And if he'd gone each way, he'd have doubled his money. He'd have doubled his money. Isn't that outrageous?
I don't reckon Caddick's ever gone both ways, mate.
Hey.
No, but the other thing, I was going to ring and say thank you to you.
Thank you?
Yeah, because of what you prompted me to do last night.
Not kill again?
No. I've still got the body in the back.
Okay.
Can I just say, bullshine on a rainy day.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is bullshine. It is, if anybody was, for Sunday nights are hashtag bullshine nights, where we all gather on the internet, on Twitter, and we listen to the magnificent, the mighty, Howard Hughes. And it Shadow People, I must admit, I fell asleep before we got to the Shadow People. But it was people on there talking about how they can predict the future using scientific algorithms. And then they said, we think that either Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump is going to win the American general election, be president. No, they're not. It's going to be Hillary.
Well, they were just very weird. It's odd because there was the first woman, the Scottish woman, and she was a bit odd. But now these people have evidence. And then the second one, and then I did hear of it, the Shadow People... And they were just like, they all sounded, and you will love this, they all sounded like proper 60 stoners from California.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
It was amazing.
Those are my kind of people.
I thought you'd love it.
It's a good listen. Howard Hughes is a good listen, isn't he? I think he's a brilliant broadcaster. We'll get him on one day. But I miss the Shadow People. I shall try and navigate talkradio.co.uk's listen again feature and try and listen again, because I genuinely, I think it's... And did you hear him getting a few little digs in at other radio stations?
I heard the one at LBC, yeah, I heard that.
There we go, he owned it. Listen, thank you very much, Carl. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You can text 87222, start your text talk. Text costs 25 pence plus your standard network rate. You can watch as well on Periscope. I'll tell you how to do that after this.
Late night Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. You can Periscope. Periscope.tv/Ian Lee. And what it is me, basically, you can see the show. Hello, everybody. And I will talk to you during the next break. I'm just still kind of getting kind of set up and stuff like that. Who's this? Who's this? I don't know what's going on there. Right, David.
What's happening? You all right?
I'm all right, David. What you got for us?
The Kyle guy was talking about the LBC. They're doing that 3 hour thing again.
Hang on a second. They've done what? What?
They're doing the 3 hour thing again. The 3 hour special nonsense.
Oh, they've lost it. They've absolutely lost it. Talk Radio is where it's at, guys. Talkradio.co.uk.
Yep.
This show, John Holmes, and I believe there are other people working on this station as well. Johnny and Ash are a good laugh. This is the future. Hey, I listen to... and I'm not towing the company line because I've not been told to yet.
Yes.
But Bob Mills on a Sunday night. Did you listen to Bob Mills?
Yeah,
I loved it. Talking to Jeremy Hardy for an hour. Beautiful.
Yeah, he's a good comedian. He still has.
Jeremy Hardy's great. Bob Mills is great. And what was nice, right? It was just a really leisurely talk between two sort of mates, and it was perfect for a Sunday evening. Perfect Sunday evening listening. Then you go into Howard Hughes talking nonsense.
But I'll tell you who was good, Ian. I don't know if you're going to do a tribute. James Whale.
James Whale.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was good in the day.
He was good back in the day. It's sad what happened to him, but never mind.
Yeah, if I'm fair enough, you're going to do a tribute special to him.
We might do a tribute special to him at some point, if we can be bothered. Yeah. Anything else, David?
No, that was it. As I say, when I flicked on before you came on last week, and the LBC thing, we've done that 3 hours rubbish again.
Don't worry about those guys, OK? This is where it's at, man. This is where it's at, seriously. And it's still early days. Still early days. Still finding our feet. And I think we found a foot, and that foot is the shape of Nigel. Good evening, Nigel.
Good evening, Ian.
How are you, Nigel?
Not too bad.
Oh, hang on a second. Let me just turn my music beds off. When they give me a fader, life will be so much easier because I remember when I've left something open or not.
I've just seen a spider.
Oh! That's lucky. It's a spider's a spider. Are those spiders lucky? Are they?
Well, I don't.
Not if it's a tarantula.
It's a big one hanging on the web under a table.
Kill it.
No.
What's the best book to kill a spider with?
I don't kill spiders.
What?
Ian.
What?
No, I never kill spiders.
Why not?
But only if they're big black ones. This is a spindly one, a very thin one.
Racist. So you're racist against spiders?
I've just put out a message to Lindsay Lohan that I'm going to be on the radio now, so she might be listening.
She might be.
It's on her public group, Lindsay Lohan fan public group.
Yeah,
private group.
She might be.
I've just had time to put the message on before your own, mate.
Okay.
So hopefully I'll get all these more viewers on the radio, listening to the radio.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed.
Probably thousands by now.
Well, you would think so, wouldn't you?
They'll all be tuning into their knobs.
Oh, steady.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, Dave, do you want to have a quick word with Dave?
A quick word, then.
Good morning, Bosch. Welcome back.
Oh, welcome. Hello. Good evening.
Am I talking to myself here?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Da, 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 da.
Welcome to my show.
Oh, God. Who's that?
Welcome to the Ian Lee Show.
Who, you?
No, not me, Ian.
Who's that?
This is Nigel from Maidstone.
Who, you?
Yes, that's me.
Flipping it.
Who the hell is
Ginger Baker?
He's gone into Ginger Baker again.
I've done a little garden. Just shut it, pal.
Whereabouts are you from?
What are you beefing on about?
Are you far away from London? Are you in London?
No.
Oh, I just wondered where you was.
Yes.
Essex.
Yes.
Carry on.
Can you turn the faders up? Am I talking to myself here?
Turn it up a bit, Ian.
Hang on a minute. I'm trying to turn it up a bit.
I like to mushy peas. What was that?
Give it some stick, Ian.
Please don't go.
Give it one, Ian.
God. I don't know, mate. Neither do I. Are you real?
Ian, can I do my song, please?
Of course you can, Nigel.
I'm going to do Misty tonight because it's a bit misty outside.
Oh, yeah, is it?
There's a pun there.
It's not. Can I ask?
Remember Johnny Mathis?
I do remember Johnny Mathis, one of rock and roll's first homosexuals to come out and be out and proud.
Really? Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah,
didn't
no, one of the first people to come out and be proud about it. Johnny Mathis is a trailblazer. When a child is born.
He did have a funny voice, didn't he?
Well, yeah, so have you.
I mean, it was a unique voice. Yes. Nobody else was like him.
No. Really? Well, his voice, Johnny Mathis is still going, I think. It's got
he did
be...
Moon River, didn't he, as well?
Did he do Moon River? I know that...
Moon River, yeah.
I know that the man did, who sing...
The original one
to watch girls by.
Moon River was Danny Williams.
Moon River is written by Henry Mancini. Mm.
But the first one to sing it was Danny Williams.
I don't think he was.
Oh, wasn't he?
I don't think he was. Moon River was in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
And did he sing it in that?
No.
Who sang it in that? Because that would be the original, surely.
That's probably before his time as well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Black and white.
Johnny Mathis... No, Breakfast at Tiffany's is colour.
Oh, is it? Oh, sorry.
Always about colour with you, Nigel.
Yeah.
Johnny Mathis did a disco album called... and I had it on cassette. Called Life is a Song Worth Singing. Why don't you sing it?
Yeah, do you know, I've been watching your video of you telling what's going on the radio. It's the first time I've seen you.
Oh, you're on the Periscope?
You know that video you put on Talk Sport?
Ages ago. Yeah, did that ages ago. Yeah.
Advertising your radio station.
Yeah.
Why are you listening to Ian Lee?
Who let the kids in?
He's an idiot.
Out!
I was going to say that, you know, Danny Williams, a singer.
Yes.
I played drums with him in 75.
Did you?
I did a cabaret thing.
75.
I was a drummer for him.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. You've got a song for us, have you, Nige?
Yes, I'm going to do Misty if I can.
Beautiful. Away you go, boss.
This is a proper recording off my album, which I had somewhere. I sold it for £10.
How many did you sell?
Quite a few.
Go on.
I had to make... They were mass-produced by a friend of mine, Crazy Horse, that was on The Voice. Did you see Crazy Horse on
I don't
The Voice?
Watch The Voice. Oh. I don't really watch TV anymore, Nigel.
He don't wear any shoes. He's like an Indian. He dresses like an Indian with long hair and don't wear any shoes on television.
If you were to go up to a red Indian and say, how, right, would he just look at you with disgust or would he say... We're Native Americans, we're not Red Indians anymore.
Probably so, we're Native Americans.
Yeah. Everyone's got a chip on their shoulder. Anyway, Nigel, you got a song for us?
It's about
Native Americans and Carry On Films. Away we go.
Carry On Regardless. This is a song now. I'm just going to start, press the knob in. Here we go. I'll press the knob in, it's just coming on now. Here we go.
Thank you.
Look at me, I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree, and I feel like I'm clinging to a crowd.
Nigel!
I can't understand.
Nigel!
I get misty.
Nigel!
Just for holding your hand.
Nigel! 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 I can't listen to the whole thing. Nigel! I'm watching the Periscope figures go down, 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 deeper and down. Michelle?
Hello.
Hello, Michelle. You're in Germany, are you?
I am.
That is very good. I think Nigel's got quite a nice voice, and this is quite a nice production, but we can't play the whole song.
No.
What have you called in for, Michelle?
I have two swimming pool stories.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, swimming pool stories. 0844 499 1000. Yes, Michelle, away you go.
So my first one I lived in the US for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And they, there was a news report from our local pool.
Yes.
Where they'd found a dead body of a person who had been missing for 3 days.
Oh.
But the pool water was so murky.
Aye.
That it took them 3 days to find the person.
Flipping heck. Was this like someone's pool in their back garden?
No. Public pool.
Oh, you're joking. Well, the public pool today is the last day of half term. Right. Oh, he's still going. When he finishes, we'll applaud and we'll say we listened to the whole thing.
I'm not applauding that.
Oh, no, Michelle. Could you do any better?
Hang on. It's true.
Hey! We'll have some of that. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I've got quite a good voice, haven't I?
Posse likes it. Steve Wright's posse likes it in the afternoon.
Did you record it?
No.
Oh. Well, somebody might.
Well, it's unlikely. There's a chance you might be in this week's podcast, Nigel.
Oh, that's the recording of the show, isn't it?
Well, it's the best bits of the show. You may have made the best bits.
I'll try and have a look then, yeah.
Or a listen. But Nigel, honestly, I think your voice is quite nice. Have you got any gigs coming up?
Well, I've not been trying. I'm not advertising at the moment. You see, I should advertise, really. But I'm quite happy retired at the moment. But but I ought to get back into drumming or singing or something, really.
You've not been putting your phone number on the websites or anything?
No, not recently.
Good lad. All right.
I'm still in contact with my friend, who's a boyfriend of Miley Cyrus.
Now, hang on a minute.
But he's Miley Cyrus's ex-boyfriend.
Nigel,
yes.
How do you know that he's Miley Cyrus's ex-boyfriend?
Because I do know, because he's the person who I put my videos onto on this private thing on the, you know, Mike Starr. I told you before, his name's Mike Starr. He's a record producer and songwriter for Miley Cyrus.
I don't know the gentleman. Permission to speak freely, Nigel?
Yes.
Right, and sometimes in this business, I'm in show business of types, of sorts. In this business, we have to be confronted with the truth sometimes, even though we don't want to hear it.
But, yeah.
I don't think you're in contact with Miley Cyrus's ex-boyfriend, and I don't think Lindsay Lohan called you the other day.
He's a friend of Miley Cyrus, anyway. He's probably a friend of Miley Cyrus, as he wouldn't know. He knows quite a lot about it.
Yeah,
anyway.
But you can Google it.
But anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
I tried.
Okay.
Hang on, who just dropped something in the water? Was that you?
That was me having a drink, I'm sorry.
It's not that bad, is it, Michelle?
It's water.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yes, Nigel.
It's good of Lindsay Lohan's fan club to let me have my videos on their website.
Yeah, well, on the Facebook page.
I mean, it's good of them to allow me to have them freely on their page.
Do you not worry, Nigel? And I'm going to speak freely, okay? Because I like you, and I think you've got. I think you've got a bit of talent, right? Do you not worry that these people might be laughing at you?
Oh, of course. No, I don't care, and you.
Oh, if you don't care, then that's fair enough.
I've never had any work. No one's ever said they don't like me anyway before. So.
Michelle, anyway. Well, Nigel, listen, it's good to talk to you, mate.
It gets harder as you get older to do things, doesn't it? Because your voice gets weaker.
Here's the thing, right? Some people's voice. Paul McCartney now, his voice is not what it used to. Still good.
No.
It's not what it used to be. But then you get someone like Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees. His voice is amazing, and he's 72 years old.
Well, you just heard me now, and that was only 2 years ago.
That was a recording.
You're only 2 years ago.
Well, but a lot can happen in 2 years. You could have got a karate chop to the windpipe.
I can still sing the same.
Go on, then.
Oh, yeah, well, I haven't got the backing, have I?
Thank you, man. Nigel, good.
It's the neighbours. I can't really make too much noise because of the neighbours.
Yeah.
You can say that you're leading me on, but it's just what I want you to do. Isn't
it? You
can do it.
Nigel, listen, you're a legend, mate. Thanks for calling in, Nigel. Take care.
Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you.
We loved it. Thank you, mate. Cheers. Thank you very much. Michelle, stay there. We'll come to you after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Evening, everybody. Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844 499 1000. I'm doing my best to make this a loving, welcoming show for everybody. I'm really trying. It goes against my nature. My nature will be going, oh, that's rubbish. Oh, you suck. You suck. And I'm trying to fight that. We'll talk to John Ronson a bit about that, actually. If you've not read his book, You've Been Shamed, I suggest you go and get it now, because it's a corker. It's an absolutely brilliant read. And we might talk a little bit about that And it's come partly from me reading his book that I'm trying to be a little bit nicer in public forums, as well as private forums as well. But anyway, talking about stamps, we're talking about circuses, we're talking about lifeguards, we're talking about swimming pools. And Michelle is in Germany. Whereabouts in Germany, Michelle?
In Bavaria by Nuremberg.
I don't actually know anything about Germany, so it's almost pointless me asking. But I felt that I ought to ask you that.
It's the south part.
The south part of it? And sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Nein, ein bisschen.
Ein bisschen. Hast du Geschwister?
I don't speak that much.
Flipping heck! How long have you been there for, Michelle?
Oh, that's embarrassing. 4 years.
Oh, no, you're one of them. Here's the thing, right? If you were Pakistani and you were in this country, right, there'd be people talking about kicking you out. Honestly, there would. There've been people talking about recently. Well, if they're over here and for 4 years and they can't speak the language, do we really want them here? But yeah, interestingly, no one's saying that you should be booted out of Germany.
No, and everybody speaks English here. So
isn't it funny? And it's because you're. I'm going to say why. It's because you're white and you're not a Muslim. That's why. But do you know what I mean?
How do you know those two things?
Okay, excellent point. I'm going to say something, right? We make assumptions from the name, the Michelle does not. Okay, I'm going to say something, right?
Yeah.
You don't sound Pakistani.
No, that doesn't really mean it.
I worked in Pakistan for 3 months, and there were people that lived there that didn't sound Pakistani, but they were Pakistani. And I've made the assumption that you're not Muslim, but
you
might be.
Right.
No, I thought so.
You're right. Can you tell where my accent is from?
England.
No.
Wales. Scotland. Wales.
Yes.
Wales.
No.
Scotland.
Wales.
Wales.
Yeah, Wales.
Well, there
Wales.
We go.
But it means I haven't got a Welsh accent anymore.
Now you said it, I can hear it, but I should have said Great Britain, of course, if I was in the cover. Anyway, so we've had one swimming pool story. It was tragic. Is the next one tragic or a bit more upbeat?
It's a bit more upbeat. So okay. In your spirit of wanting to have, like, harmony and nice things.
Yeah.
So I can tell you that definitely swimming after you've just eaten is no problem at all. When I was a kid, our neighbour had a swimming pool, which me and my sister spent all summer at.
Yeah.
And the owner, our neighbour, would come down with afternoon tea every day. We would fill our faces and jump straight back in the pool.
And none of you drowned? None of you had stomach cramps? Nothing
no,
like that?
No, we were all good.
Then where has that nonsense come from then?
They didn't want kids vomiting in the pool.
Oh, well, but the chlorine is so strong these days that it would destroy any vomity germs that would be in there.
I've got another swimming pool story. God, the more I talk, the more I realise how many swimming pool stories
I always are. Thought, right, nowadays, like, we'll get your story in, don't worry. It's talk radio. We're not exactly overfilled with calls. Although I've got a few lined up on here. This show is all right. But nowadays, like, everyone's got a swimming pool or a hot tub or something. They've got something watery in their house, right? When I was growing up, I always felt that people who had swimming pools in their back gardens, there was something very suspicious about them. And also, they were never heated. The indoor swimming pool, heated. The outdoor ones were never heated. So even in the hottest summer in this country, are you crying?
No.
Oh, I thought you were crying.
Because it's so damn true.
Even in the hottest summer, the swimming pool would be flipping freezing. Awful.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why would anyone do that?
I
don't. Swimming's a weird thing, right? My eldest was going up the stairs to the water slide today, and he wanted me to stay at the bottom so we could see him come out, just the once, right? And so I'm stood there, and my youngest is stood next to me, and I'm thinking, I stood there for about 15 minutes. I thought, I'm a 42-year-old man, right?
Yeah.
And I'm stood in a room with about 100 other people, and I'm wearing shorts, and I'm soaking wet. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you put it like that, well, imagine if you said to your friends, hey, guys, do you want to go and stand in your pants in a room full of strangers and be soaking wet for a couple of hours and pay for it? Everyone's going, yes, I'll have some of that. That sounds awesome. It's a weird public swimming. This is what I was going to ask. I knew there was a question that was in the back of my head. When was the first public swimming pool ever made? What person went, right, you know this stuff we're doing in this river, yeah, right? Imagine if we were doing it in, like, a massive rectangle with a roof over us. When did that happen?
1924.
OK, well, then we've answered that question. 1924.
I have no clue.
You've said it, Michelle, and that's now fact. 1924, swimming pools were invented. What's your other story, Michelle?
Last year we went to Euro Disney in Paris.
Yeah. Well, let me interrupt, right? We've been there. Aren't the staff really surly?
Yeah.
They're so miserable. And you think because it's France, okay. But you think because it's Disney that you're kind of like on like American soil because it's Disney. But the staff serving the pizzas and the toffee apples and the drinks, oh my God. Gosh, they were miserable. Walt Disney would be spinning headless in his grave. His head would be spinning in its freezer.
Yeah. When we were there, they cancelled the day parade because it was raining. There was not a lot of Disney magic going on. And the guy, so to your point, we got the French shrug and they're kind of like, yeah, it's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we were there, and my sister, we were staying with my sister. They go down to the swimming pool, come back about 15 minutes later, and we were like, what's up? A kid had vomited in the pool everywhere, and they'd had to evacuate it.
I'm surprised the French evacuated. Oh, it does not matter. It is just a child's puke. Swim around it. It will get sucked out by the filters in 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michelle, listen, it's good to talk to you. Thank you so much. Please learn some German. It's true, though. If she were a Pakistani in this country... Oi, we don't want you. You've been here for 4 years and you don't even know the answer to the question, hast du geschwister? Hast du? Tris. Guten Tag, Chris.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right, fella. What have you got for us, boss?
Well, first off, it's not true about... Walt Disney, his head isn't cryogenic.
No, I know it's a myth, isn't it? It's a popular myth, but it's one I like to perpetuate.
Cool.
Why would because the thing is, of course, I don't. Is anybody actually frozen? I don't think cryogenics is anywhere near developed enough for it to work at all.
Well, I mean, it's just a vanity thing, isn't it?
But if you were going to do it, right, vanity. If you were going to do it, why would you have your head chopped off? I mean, where in the future... Oh, actually, saying that, they're working on head transplants already, so maybe it's not such a bad idea.
Yeah.
Never mind. Anyway, go on, Tris.
Yeah, lifeguards.
Yes.
Which seems to be a recurring theme tonight.
Yes.
But,
lifeguards special.
One of my local swimming pools, my oldest daughter, she's a bit of a nutter for the slides and everything like that. You know?
Good for her.
And they've got one of these ones where you go down on the rubber rings, a big rubber ring.
Oh, right, yeah.
Now, she was only, like, 5 or 6 at the time, and I was pushing her down. And as I push her down, I've got 1 foot trapped on the downy, wetty bit, and I'm doing the splits.
So I decided
just to let gravity take me, and I went down sort of head first in an awkward fashion behind her. Anyway, when I get to the bottom, one of these lifeguards, and I mean, he was an embryo. He was a few weeks old. He addresses me, oi, mate, and anyone that starts a sentence with the word oi automatically gets my back up.
Yeah.
And he says, oi, mate, you've got to go down on a rubber ring. And I said, yes, I'm well aware of the fact I need to go down on a rubber ring.
Yeah.
The sort of manner that I've fallen down this thing on may suggest that this wasn't exactly planned. And he gave me a week's ban from using the slides.
So what? Well, hang on. Who goes swimming more than once a week? And also, how would they enforce that? Would they have to take your picture and then post it by the entrance to the slides?
Well, I mean, I was more than prepared to stand there and argue it for the rest of the day, but I just decided to sort of go up to him and say, "No, I'm not," and just walked off.
I was about to say, did you go back on the slides?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
I was glared at him every time I came down, ring or ringless.
Wow.
He I love Weeks ban. I've never...
Tris, listen, thank you for that. I'm going to move on because I want to squeeze Glenn in before the top of the news. Yeah, thank you, Tris. Yes, Glenn?
Good evening, Ian. How are you?
I'm banned for a week from going down the water slide by a lifeguard. Outrageous. I'm good, thank you. Glenn, what you got for us, boss?
You were talking about Euro Disney with that last caller.
Yes.
I had the exact same experience, and I reckon I know why it is.
Well, hang on. There's someone being sick in the pool.
No. I'm talking about Euro Disney.
Yeah, someone was sick in the pool at Euro Disney. The parade was cancelled off because of the rain. Oh.
No, that's not... I was talking about the staffing.
The surly staff, yeah. Everyone does it at Euro Disney. It's a magical place, apart from when you try and buy something to eat or drink or go on a ride.
I reckon the staff that sell the burgers and tear the tickets, I think they go home and the family go, oh, yes, Philippe, he works at Disneyland, he's very successful, and he's Mickey Mouse. And yeah. They go, yes, Mum, I'm Mickey Mouse. Yeah. Don't tell my teacher Mama what
now,
I do.
Now, here's the thing, right, because all the Disney characters, of course, they look... like they're happy, but it's going to be a French dude inside there as well. Probably with a fag on. I'm sure I saw smoke coming out of Donald Duck's beak. Probably with a fag. And they're going to be really miserable, and they're bouncing along and waving and doing... imagine a really miserable Woody. Woody's not the best choice, perhaps, but imagine one of the inside there's a miserable person who hates children. A Frenchman.
I know, and apparently they have hand signals for when they need to go to the loo and things like that, and they have to stop the autograph signings for them to disappear. And inside there has to just be a very miserable, morally corrupt person. It's a sad state of affairs.
It is, Glenn. Listen, I've got to move on because we've come up to the news. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, that's right, other shows on Talk Radio. I'm having to cut people short because we're going to the news, and we have an overflow of calls. Don't stop, but we have an overflow. 0844 499 1000. It's weird. And the kids didn't notice when we went to Euro Disney. They were young enough that they didn't notice that the person who was serving us cold, overpriced pizza had nothing but contempt for us and just looked at us with disdain. 0844 499 1000. It turns out we're turning into a swimming pool special this evening.
Talk Radio.
And suddenly an hour has gone. If you're watching on Periscope, apparently there are a few problems, but you can go and have a look, or you can listen to us on talkradio.co.uk and you can find out all about all of the other shows that are happening. In the next hour, we'll have John Ronson on the phone live from New York City and more of your calls. When was the first swimming pool ever invented? Here's the news.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Take a far-out trip into the twilight zone of late-night radio with Ian Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Unmissable late-night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So, 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. We'll call you back. Catherine joins me in the studio. Good evening, Catherine. It is through the glass.
Hi.
I feel that we can finally... Oh, there's a nice buzz on your microphone.
Oh, that's
no, it's good. It's gone. I feel that we can finally start the show. The first hour is always feels a bit frantic. We're having to come in and get rid of Johnny and Ash from their show and...
cool the studio down.
Cool it down. It's a bit frantic. I've got so much equipment. I've got to set up with the phone for the Periscope. We've had problems with the Periscope and the tripod and the computer, which I plug in. I'm the only one that brings a computer in. And why do you bring a computer in here? Well, it means I can do stuff like this. Oh, no, it doesn't work, you see. There we go.
It's disgusting.
Thank you very much indeed. Or, what's this?
Shut up.
I sent you Caddick's Blimey from earlier on, because okay. That was a corker.
We'll have that while we speak to Colin in Dunstable. Good evening, Colin.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, it's hashtag Fossil Friday.
It's hashtag Fossil Friday,
I don't know where you sent that clip, but I haven't got it. It ain't come up in any of my emails.
To your Gmail?
No, it's not there.
Oh, I'll send it again after.
Hello, Colin in Dunstable. How the devil are you? He said, slurping on a cup of rooibos tea.
Oh, not too bad, thank you. And you?
Ah, you know. I got I nearly swore them. I got an upset stomach today.
Oh, dear. Yeah, there's always something wrong with you.
There is, Colin. Upset stomach and a headache, and I won't get enough sleep tonight. But that's life, Colin. That's life.
Well, there you go.
That's life. That's, yep. I would say that's one of Sinatra's weakest songs.
I'm not really into Sinatra.
Really? Have you heard his disco album he made with Quincy Jones?
No.
I will try and find a track from it. While I say disco, it was kind of loose disco.
I haven't found you on DAB yet, you see.
Oh, what are you listening to us on then?
I'm not.
Oh.
Oh,
right. Some bloke who is a presenter for a hospital radio station.
Yes.
Gave me this number and said, ring it.
Oh, so you don't know what the mystery sound is then?
No.
Hang on. Hang on. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome to the illuminated disco floor, the one, the only, Mr. Frank Sinatra. Flippin' heck.
Wow.
Flippin' heck. He don't mind, does he? Anyway, well, you've not found us on the radio, Colin, but you found us on the telephone. It's a swimming pool special, and we're discussing, when was the first ever swimming pool invented? We've got it back as far as 1924.
Oh, I have absolutely no idea.
Well, I would have thought you would have known, A, because you're old, and B, because you like history.
Mm, and fossils.
Yeah, but... You know, that's something I've never investigated.
I know, but now you're thinking about it, it's interesting, isn't it? Who was out with their mates in a stream or a river and went, hey, what would be really good would be to do this in a giant rectangle where it starts off where it just goes up to your ankles, but as you walk into it, it gets deeper and deeper until it covers your head, and we'd have a roof over ourselves. And by the way, you'd have to wear trunks. Trunks, what are they? I've just invented them. They're shorts with netting inside so that when they get wet, you can't see someone's penis.
I'd never thought of that before.
No, you wouldn't have.
But then, that's the difference between me and you and a dog named Boo.
There we go, you see. Where was that? Who sang that? That was a good... That was a song.
Me and you and a dog named Boo.
I thought the dog was named Blue.
And a living off the land.
He's gone.
Yeah. I thought it was a dog named Blue.
I don't know. I always thought it was Boo.
Do you know, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Does it?
No, it doesn't really matter.
I think stuff like this does matter. Let's have a listen. Let's find out. Is it Boo or Blue for 5 points?
I remember to this day the bright red.
I can't listen to any more of that already. It's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Colin,
oh, I quite Colin, like it.
You would do. Say hello to Vicky.
Hello.
Hello, Vicky.
Hello.
Where are you, Vicky?
I'm in the Croydon area.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah. Where are you?
I'm in Dunstable in Bedfordshire, near Luton.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
Don't give him any more location,
don't call
Vicky.
It Luton up here. They call it Luton.
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 Yeah. I've only ever caught a plane from there.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I've caught lots of stuff from here.
Is there more to do in Luton than go and catch a plane?
Not a lot.
No, I didn't think so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, great conversation, guys. Classic bands. Talk radio. I'll tell you what we can do while you're here. Colin, because you can't listen to us, we do a thing called the answer phone messages where we give out a phone number, and I can't remember what the phone number is, and people phone up and listen, and they leave us a message. They can call any time of the day or night and leave a message. Do you want to hear today's answer phone messages?
Go on.
Here we go. Oh, hang on a second. Oh, because I've not got a flipping fader!
Get a grip.
Get a fader. Hang on a second. Right, it should work. Here we go.
And here's today's answer phone messages. Hi there, I'm a teacher from the United States of America, and I'm on cannabis and crack.
Nellie the elephant packed the trunk and said goodbye to the circus. Off she went with a trumpety trump, 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 trump.
Hello, it's Patricia Clark. Just coming back
tonight I was doing Blackman Dogs impersonations. And tomorrow night, I think I might be James Whale for failing that 5-4. Anyway, don't forget, a zombie in your life.
Hello, Ian. You all right? It's Ringo Starr again. I'm just ringing because I don't love the show. I felt like that was a bit much. I think it's all right, but I don't love it. And, it, you know, that was it, really. All right, mate. Peace and love. Bye.
Is that Talk Radio? Can you put me through to Caesar the Geezer, please? I want to speak to Caesar the Geezer on Talk Radio, 10 to 1, Monday to Friday. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, Ian. Tuned into the show last week. Couldn't believe my rabbit ears when I heard you play the rock classic that is Bright Eyes. I was even more surprised to hear that it wasn't the substandard Arthur Garfunkel version. It was, in fact, my version from my Tizzle days, as I am Matthew Butler. The song hit number 121 with a bullet back in the crazy summer of 1980. Crazy days indeed. Anyway, thanks again, Ian. Bye.
Ian, please, can we have a minute's silence for LBC?
What do you reckon, Carl? Lynn?
Pretty eclectic.
Thanks very much for calling. Speak to you soon, love. Ta-ta.
Yeah, bye, mate.
Bye, mate. Yes, Vicky!
Yeah, hello.
No idea who that was at all. Yes, Vicky!
I feel very touched by that silence for LBC.
Yeah, well, you know, it's...
poignant.
Let's remember everybody who sailed in her. And has long since gone. Anyway, what have you got for us?
Yeah, right, firstly, swimming pools.
Yeah.
When I went to school, we had a swimming pool in our school.
Blimey!
Yeah.
But it was, like, ridiculously hot, and they used to make us swim in our pyjamas.
Oh, yeah, we did the swim in the pyjamas, and it was we did it once, and I loved it, and it was because if you were ever on a cruise ship and it sank, if you ever sank at sea...
Oh, is that what it was for?
You'd have to be able to swim in your... Or if you fell off a boat, I suppose.
It was never explained to me why I was in my PJs.
Yeah, yeah, so if you... Because swimming with your clothes on, obviously, is harder because it gets wet, it absorbs the water and it pulls you down.
Yeah.
So it's if you fall off a boat, I suppose, as opposed to a boat sinking.
Why did the others dive in for bricks in our pyjamas? I mean, that was never going to happen.
Well, it was because you had to go. Here's the thing, guys, and I'm happy to say this. I can swim. I'm not a very strong swimmer. I certainly don't like getting water in my eyes. You pulled a face there.
No.
I don't like
interesting.
It. I hate it when the kids splash me in the water because it just gets, and I constantly have to look away when they dive in. So I've never seen my child hit water from height because I have to look away at the moment. Yeah, well, I turn away because I can't get water in my eyes.
And you can't wear goggles as a grown man because you look like a pervert.
This is when I was a kid, right? When I was a kid, I really wanted to be an actor, and I thought I can never be an actor because, I cannot open my eyes underwater. And I thought that was a thing that you had to do to be an actor. Because it was always, in the 70s, they were always underwater with their eyes open. Not with goggles on, but they'd be looking underwater and be looking and go... And I used to think, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. And I used to, as a child of like 6, 7, 8, I would feel great shame at my inability to open my eyes underwater.
I thought I would never be an actress because I couldn't kiss boys. In front of people.
These things, I can. I can. I told you when I went out to a gay club once after the 11 o'clock show. Was it the 11 o'clock show? It was Rise. It was after Rise. It wasn't. It was because that was in the morning. But we went to end up in a gay club. Me and David Furnish dancing away. And I'm voguing around Furnish.
Gosh.
Voguing around Furnish. I was
Don't say what you were screaming.
Can I not say that? Can I not say that? I was very drunk. I was going, come on, you gays, you love it! And they took me to heart. To heart. And another... Oh, I was underwater, swimming with my eyes open. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. It don't matter. What you got for us, Vicky?
Well, I thought I'd challenge you to a slurp off.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
Right, OK, you got something? Ready?
Oh, yeah, go on.
Right,
ready?
OK. Count us in, Kath.
1, 2, 3... Oh, I think you've won, Vicky.
Flipping neck, Vicky. You've had practice. I was choking then. Vicky, thank you very much. 0844-499-1000.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You can text 87222, start your message. Talk, text costs 25 pence a minute plus your standard network rate. I wouldn't bother, to be honest. I'll go on Twitter, at Ian Lee. Jonathan in Swansea. Yes, Jonathan.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Jonathan. No, Noah, sorry, mate.
Don't worry.
That's okay. I don't think anybody noticed. What a wicked couple. John Ronson, now listen, you like your conspiracy theories, don't you? But you don't think they're conspiracy theories, you think they're fact.
Some of them.
Well, John Ronson's coming on. Are you aware of his work?
Isn't he on that Poetry Please?
No, that's Roger McGough. He hung out with David Icke, who was supposed to do an interview today, but he postponed it.
I'm not surprised. I've met Icke, and I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him.
Well, I'm not going to toss him, but he's going to come the 25th. I think we're recording an interview with him. I think he'll come on. I just think and this is maybe where I'm so naive. No, I wouldn't read any conspiracy into the fact that David Icke cancelled or postponed today.
He double booked.
I was looking at his website. There's an interesting video on there that he's posted, but it's not his video, of someone claiming or suggesting that the, you know, remember the bombs at Brussels Airport?
Yes.
Hoax. Yeah.
Hoax.
Oh.
What do you reckon, Noah? Hoax?
I'm not sure at this point. It could be, it may not be.
It's not.
No, 30-odd people died, didn't they?
Well, did they? He describes, and it's not, again, this is not Icke, but this is on his website. He described, he does ask a brilliant question, right? It starts off with, I've got so much audio that I found over the weekend, including a woman having a go at Katy Perry's dad. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, I'll play you that in a bit. Let me play you, David, isn't it weird? David Icke's website looks different to how it looked when I accessed it the other day. Hang on a second. He asks a brilliant question, right? And if I can find it, I will play it. Flipping it. His website's really hard to navigate. First question, David, get someone to do your website properly, please, mate. Because it's all over the flipping thing. Here we go. Oh, no, that's the Paris attacks. Anyway, he asks a brilliant question, right? The guy says, why... And he calls them actors, survival actors. Why are the survival actors all wearing blankets? And it's a good point, right? I think that video's been taken down. Isn't that interesting? Because I can't see it. Unless someone's got a link to it, they can tweet me. And it's a good point. Whenever there's a bomb or something... People get either blankets or the silver blankets.
Yeah.
What's that for?
Well, it's because they're in shock.
Right. And how's a blanket going to help?
Well, because they'll go cold, won't they?
Sorry?
Yeah, if you're in shock.
Come on, mate. You're clutching at straws.
No, if you're in shock, then your body shuts down all but the essentials. So it'll warm your core, but your extremities will be freezing cold.
OK, well, why are they not giving them gloves and hats then?
Well, that's a bit fiddly, isn't it? You can pile up blankets, they're easiest to store.
I was only on Ike's website for half an hour, and I'm already totally buying into all of this stuff, but it looks like that video's been taken down.
It's probably cheaper for them to buy blankets bulk than it would be gloves.
Exactly, and also you're messing about trying to find matching pairs then, aren't you?
All right now. What? So but you think that the Brussels terror attacks maybe were a hoax?
I'm saying that there's a possibility that they were a hoax, but
To what end?
To tell you the truth, I think whether they're real or not, the agenda is clear: to spread fear and terror,
yeah,
to have society tear itself apart.
I'm really looking forward to interviewing David Icke, and I don't really want to dwell too much on the conspiracy theories and stuff, because I think that's been done to death. I'm hoping, and he's got a book to plug and he's got a tour to plug, and that's fine. I'm hoping I can find out a little bit more about David Icke, because I've been reading up on him, right?
Yeah.
And he's fascinating, right? He's absolutely fascinating. And he quit TV, right? He said, because TV workers are insincere, shallow and vicious, with rare exceptions. He's bang on the money with that.
We all know that, don't
he's
we?
Bang on the money. And you know my attitude to TV now. I've stopped chasing it. Someone comes up to me and says, here, there's 500 quid for a couple of hours' work. I'll do it. Or, you know, there's bigger... If I can do it and I think the money's okay and I can get to keep my clothes on, I'll do it. TV workers are insincere, shallow and vicious with rare exceptions. He suffers from terrible arthritis.
Oh.
Terrible arthritis. Ruined his football career. Didn't get on with his dad at all. His dad was furious with him when he gave up football, but he had arthritis. Fascinating, isn't it? With the Wogan interview in 1991, I will ask him. I may be putting words into his mouth. He had a bit of a breakdown, and his kids. He had to keep his kids out of school because they were being followed by paparazzi and press all the time.
Oh.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, there was a ménage à trois with his wife and a spiritualist healer, but he's fascinating, and I don't know really anything about him apart from the little bit of work I did at the weekend. So we'll see. Anyway, Jonathan, that's not what you called in about, is it?
It wasn't, but funny you should bring it up, because I've got some breaking news.
Oh, flippin' heck, here we go. Hang on, I've got some breaking news. Hang on a minute, let me get the breaking news. Hang on, let me get the breaking news music.
Got to make sure it's got the appropriate gravitas.
Hang on a second. Here it is. Ooga, chaka, ooga, 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 chaka, ooga, 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 chaka, ooga, 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 chaka. Breaking news.
This year's Bilderberg Conference will be held in Dresden, Germany, between June the 9th and June the 12th. Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka,
ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka. That was breaking news. Thanks for that, Jonathan.
No problem.
Cheers, bye-bye. Nothing happens at those Bilderberg groups. John Ronson went to one.
Yes, and do you remember we had one in our patch?
One in Watford or so. Basically, it's five or six star hotels with a golf course near an airport. That's all.
It gets sealed off and they have all these important dignitaries there, and the local people end up paying for it, don't they?
Yeah, that's it. And they have to have loads of extra coppers out there. We saw a copper today. I don't know if it's a real one. Are PCSOs, are they real ones?
Well,
they look like them.
They look like them, but I think they've got limited powers.
My kids were getting on my nerves, and I saw a cop, and I was about to do the, there's a copper, he's going to come and arrest you. And I realised that we don't do that anymore.
No.
And I said, and the police officer saw me, and I said, oh, I was about to do that thing where I say there's a police officer, but it's just because I'm tired and we don't do that anymore. And we chatted to him. He was a nice fella.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the boys, you got any questions for him? My eldest, best question.
Go on.
How many people have you arrested today? Oh.
The PCSO, that's a touchy subject.
He said none.
Well, he's not.
And I said, well, what's my, where's my tax money going? And we had a laugh about that. He said, oh, it's a very safe town. And I said to the youngest, have you got a question? He said, yeah. Where's your net? Sorry? Where's your net? In Dennis the Menace, the police officer has a net to catch people.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a net. Carl, what do you want? You've been on.
No, I've been on. I just wanted to clarify something about a previous caller. Is that okay?
Oh, flipping it. Go on then, yeah.
Right, so...
We're doing footnotes for the show now. Oh, that's not a bad idea. Mm. Don't know how it would work, but remind me. Footnotes for the show. We'll work that out somehow. Yes.
Yeah, I'm just checking. That caller you had on before, he sounded quite elderly. I don't know what... Colin?
Was that yes.
Colin Dunstable, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, Colin from Dunstable.
Yes.
Who did he ring up to get put on? Was it Catherine or was it Ed?
Me.
What are you driving at, Carl? Because I'm hovering over the cut-off button.
No, that's it. That's all I need to know.
There we go. Excellent stuff.
What's he implying?
I think he's implying that sexual favours have been negotiated.
Well, he's right.
0844 499 1000. I don't really know a lot about conspiracy theories. Because I think
that's the way they want it.
Well, yes, they are. But I imagine that if I were to, I mean, I, literally half an hour on Ike's website, and I'm like, maybe they didn't happen, you know, maybe because the area where the bomb went off was closed.
Right, you want to talk to John Ronson about this, because you remember spoke to the woman who was harassed for apparently being an actress. Do you remember? She was a 7/7 survivor.
But it was closed. They were doing building work in that section.
Were they, though?
Yes. The fella in the video that's now been taken down, I was suspicious.
He said so, did he?
Yes, on the documentary he'd made.
It's not a documentary.
He'd got news footage and he'd managed to record his voice over it. That's not easy to do. That's not easy to do. To do an audio dub, as it used to be called on the old Betamax and VHS video recorders, that's not easy to do.
It's a bit easy to do.
0844 499 1000.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Get rid of that. I wish I knew the alphabet better. I've been able to find this song. Let me just play you. Let me just play you a little bit of this. Would you indulge me for a second? Turn my microphone on, thank you. This is why I hate not driving the desk, because when things go wrong, I can't... Anyway, right, anyway, this is what I wanted to play. Hang on. Oh, where is it? Oh, blimey, hang on a second. Hang on, bear with me. I knew I should have put a little bit of work into the... Hang on a minute. Ah, here we go. This is it. Thank you.
Domingo, dancing for French cameras, picking up her fat white eyes. She looks at me and suddenly there's water in my eyes. I like sleeping in your shirt, stinks of smoke and all your dirt, makes me think of you sometimes. Lying on my own with water.
It's the best song you've never heard. And why are we playing this before John Ronson comes on? Well, John Ronson's on the line from New York. Hi, John, how are you doing?
Hey, Ian, how are you?
I'm really pleased to talk to you. Don't worry, we'll let you go. I know you've got to go and pick up your wife from something.
But I tell you what, hearing that song just now was so great. If only we could have got that song played on the radio... Back in the day when the Man from Del Monte could have been big stars.
They almost were. The Man from Del Monte were one of those, they were kind of one of those also-run bands. They were big in the indie charts. They were bigger than Pulp for a while.
Yeah, you know, we used to play shows in Manchester where we were being supported by the Inspiral Carpets at 808 Staten. and we were on the cusp of greatness. And I think I don't need to tell you listeners, because every single listener who just heard that bit of Water in My Eyes would agree with me that it's like a great song.
Oh, yeah.
And it saddens me and mystifies me to this day, because I believe in a meritocratic society where good people are rewarded, yet Man from Del Monte was never rewarded for being so great.
You were their manager, and I was... Me and my friend Malcolm Richman, we discovered them, and they were our band, right? And we loved them, and we would always... We lived in Slough, we'd travel up to London to go and see them. We had all the vinyl, I've still got them in a box somewhere, and all of the stuff that came out. And it never... You were their manager. How did you end up managing a band?
I saw them in London. It was like a Damascus moment. So I was the social secretary of the Polytechnic of Central London, which is also how I ended up joining Frank Sidebottom's band. And so I was shadowing my predecessor, and I was at a sound check, and the Man from Del Monte were playing, and I just thought, this band is going to be huge, and I want to be in on it. I mean, in a way, I'm quite glad it never happened, because I would have spent my life in the music business, which would have been so depressing. But I just thought this band's going to be massive, and lots of other people did too. It wasn't just you. The band James, like, were big champions of the Manfred Del Monte, and you know, there was a moment where, because I tell you what I think the problem was. Well, A, I was a terrible manager. I kind of managed them into the ground. And B, there was a kind of class thing. Like, the band was perceived to be sort of middle class, even though, I mean, they weren't, but they were perceived to be middle class. And it was just at the time when the Stone Roses and Happy Mondays and all of that lot, who were, you know, very much kind of working class bands, came up. And any group perceived to be kind of middle class had to, like, you know, change fast or die, and we died.
But I remember they were on a video for, it was either that or Louise was on the chart show, and we got very excited.
Yeah, we made it to the chart show. We made it to, like, a few things. We played in Barcelona with the Darling Buds.
Wow.
And, yeah.
And I met you, and I think I've mentioned this before, backstage when they were playing at the Marquee, and I was a very drunk 15 or 16 year old, very, very drunk, and you had a Monkees t-shirt on. Of course, I'm obsessed with the Monkees, and I remember, I think I was probably quite gobby, so I probably owe you an apology.
It's fine. You're
good.
Forgiven.
Good.
So a good sense of answer. I'd do anything to get the Manfred Del Monte to have some kind of renaissance, because they were so great.
I'm always
Maybe
banging
this
on about
was
them.
The moment. Maybe this was the tipping point. Are you playing water in my eyes just now?
That's it. We can let it go. And the reason we saw them is because we came to see Frank Sidebottom at what was London Central Poly. And it was, again, I was obsessed with Frank. And Frank was one of those things, one of those acts, those turns that divided people. My sister, who's listening now in New Zealand, hated him, didn't get it at all, and just thought it was childish and ridiculous. Whereas, you know, the people in the know thought he was a genius. Well, he was a genius, I think.
He was a genius. He really was. There was a kind of strange, surreal genius to what he did. And I think you'd only... I was lucky enough to be in Frank Sidebottom's band, I think, at his kind of height, where... you know, we were quite terrible, but we were terrible in this really endearing way. People fell in love with us. We were playing in front of, like, crowds of 2,000. And then I think what the problem was that Chris, who was, like, underneath Frank's head, decided to make the band more mainstream, thought we can't carry on just being terrible, so taught us all to play properly. And we kind of jumped the shark, and that's what killed us. But I was there just before all of that happened, when we were kind of sort of weird, shambolic oddness. I mean, maybe some people listening don't know what we're talking about with Frank Sidebottom.
Well, it's hard to describe beyond it was a brilliant songwriter hiding behind a giant papier-mâché head pretending that he wasn't a brilliant songwriter.
Yeah, and also we did lots of cover versions. We always did cover versions of slightly pompous songs, and which Frank would then do in this kind of plinkety-plonk way. So we would reduce great pompous anthems to kind of stupid parochial songs about living in Timperley in Manchester. And throughout it all, he wore a big fake head that he never took off. And I tell you what, Ian, nothing makes a young man feel more alive than cruising up the motorway at 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting next to a man wearing a big fake head. Because sometimes he would keep the head on for, like, hours and hours, even when he wasn't on stage. And he was Frank. You couldn't call him Chris when he wore the head. He wouldn't respond. You had to call him Frank. And so suddenly at, like, the age of 19, I felt like Alice through the Looking Glass. I'd be in, like, a van at 3 o'clock in the morning, cruising up the motorway next to a man wearing a big fake head.
Did you? I'm sure you must have done. I had a couple of times the pleasure of hearing Frank Sidebottom swear. Very drunk Frank Sidebottom swearing.
I don't remember Frank being drunk. I certainly remember Chris being drunk.
The last gig I did with him, it was at the 100 Club, and there were only about, as there often were, unfortunately, there were about 40 people there, and I was comparing, and Chris was steaming drunk. I mean, steaming, and he was being so charming, though. He was hilarious backstage, playing, like, blues songs and stuff. And he went out as Frank, and he was meant to do 20 minutes. 45 minutes later, the promoter said, "You've got to get him off because I've got to close up." So I had to go on, and it was wonderful. It was such a good performance. And he said, "All right, sorry, boss. Yeah, okay. Well, I'm just going to go and sit at the edge of the stage and sell badges." And he did. And it was joyous to watch.
You know, my favourite Frank gig was, it was at JB's in Dudley, and there was about 20 people in the audience, and at one point during the show, one of them got out a ball, and the audience split into two teams, and completely ignoring us, started to play a game of football. And every so often, the ball would, like, go up onto the stage, and one of us would, you know, considerately kick it back while we carried on playing. And at the end of the show, we went backstage, and Frank, I remember our bass player was seething because he was quite a muso, so he was seething. And Frank, he took off the head, and Chris went, "Best show we ever played."
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And there aren't, I mean, I don't go to comedy clubs anymore. Seeing 10 stand-ups in a row, I can't think of anything more tedious. Yeah. But there aren't any more turns like that, you know, that are, I mean, I know Frank was unique, but also in the 80s, there were kind of these variety acts that would, I remember seeing a guy called Jimbo, who was this old guy, I don't know if he must be dead now, and he would do an act pretty much to silence. And the last 3 or 4 minutes was him stood there, just saying nothing, letting it sink in that he'd failed. And he'd put on his jacket very slowly, pick up his bag, and he'd just walk out of the venue. And it was so delightful. And there's nothing like that, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm sure there are acts like that still, but I'm slightly behind. But yeah, I mean, back in the day, there was Malcolm Hardy, who would urinate on the audience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Chris Lynham, who's
Chris Lynham! Chris Lynham!
Remember him? His act would climax in him sticking a firework in his arse and lighting it. And then there was that great musical acts like John Otway and Wild Willie Barrett, who were kind of quite similar to Frank Sidebottom in their way. These are great times. These are certainly, for me, my formative years. I'd just left Cardiff, where everything was boring in my life, and I was in a world of those people.
I'll go back in a bit, but the film, Frank, was it was a massive success, wasn't it?
Well, I mean...
Or was it not?
Well, I mean, it wasn't the success that the guy who directed its next film was, because he then made Room, which got nominated for all those Oscars.
Yes.
So
yes.
I sometimes worry that Frank is going to be like a footnote in Room's history. But I really, I mean, you know, people, like last night I was walking down the street in New York and somebody came up to me, like in the darkness, and recognised me and said Frank was his favourite film. Wow. So there are people out there who feel that way, and it was certainly kind of beloved by critics.
It's beautiful. It's stunning. Were you surprised? Because there was a little bit of a backlash from Sidebottom fans who went, "Yeah, but hang on, he's got an American accent." Because it wasn't actually about Frank Sidebottom, was it? Just looked like him.
No, and you know what? I mean, to be completely honest, if there'd been more of a backlash, I wouldn't have been surprised. Because... you know, it was a gamble what happened with the movie, that we took, you know, this kind of fantastic real life beloved person, Frank Sidebottom, with Chris's blessing. This is with Chris's blessing, and kind of amalgamated him with other outsider artists like Daniel Johnston, who's, you know, great bipolar singer songwriter, and Captain Beefheart, and we kind of created this kind of fictional outsider artist who was a bit of all of these people. So I can understand why you know, hardcore Sidebottom fans might have seen that as a betrayal. But you know, what made me very happy when we were writing Frank was realizing that there was this documentary, Being Frank, was also going to be made. And so I thought, well, that's okay. Like, if people want the Frank Sidebottom story, they'll get Being Frank. And if people want this kind of, you know, sort of dream type, weird, surreal sort of dreamscape of a movie, then they can see our movie, and the two things can live together fine. So I think most people were fine with it. You know, obviously a couple of people you know, felt it should have been more about Frank.
Yeah, of course. But it's stunning. For those who have not seen it, it's stunning. And I think it's wonderful. And funnily enough, I was talking to Steve Sullivan, who's doing the Being Frank documentary. We're emailing each other today. He's got it down now to a nifty 11 hours, 18 minutes.
He's got to sort himself out. I've been saying this to them for years. Just finish it.
Kill
your babies and just finish it.
John, listen, I've got to pay some rent. Can I come back to you in a couple of minutes? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bless you. Thank you very much. This is John Ronson talking to me on Talk Radio. Here's some ads.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Guys, if you do nothing else, go and buy the Man from Del Monte CD. Honestly, I love it. I love it. I'm going to be listening to this on the way home. John Ronson's on the line. John, thank you very much indeed. I really appreciate that. You're very approachable, aren't you? I've been to a couple of your talks and stuff, and you kind of make a point of sort of being there so that people can come and say hello and stuff. Is that do you find that a bit intimidating?
Not intimidating. I mean, I spend most of my life, like all writers, I spend most of my life completely alone. So you know, my real life is being totally alone in a room. So it's nice once in a while, if I'm going off to do a talk, to, you know, put in the extra couple of hours at the end of it to meet everybody.
Now, I saw you recently. You were doing a week of shows at the Soho Theatre, and it was such a joy to see you and Louis Theroux.
Heard that one. That was a lovely one.
A lovely one. There was, at the first 20 minutes, there did feel a little bit like you were kind of sussing each other out. I have no idea how well you know Louis at all, but it felt a little bit, you were both a little bit unsure.
Yeah, well, we used to always be compared to each other for years and years, like throughout the 90s. Like, I couldn't read any article about anything that I did without being compared to Louis. Louis, sometimes, there'd be articles written about him which didn't, where he wasn't compared to me, which just made me even more annoyed. So there was definitely some competitiveness, and to the extent that I think a little bit of hostility grew between us, which wouldn't have happened if we weren't being compared to each other all the time. I used to joke on stage that we were like kind of conjoined twins, and that for one of us to grow stronger, the other must die. And I've never done anything with Louis after all of these years. And so then I decided to do like 5 nights at the Leicester Square Theatre, and I thought, wouldn't it be great to just have one of the nights as just a conversation between me and him? And so, yeah, I suppose there was a slight wariness at the beginning, but not for long, right? It ended off everyone moving kind of nice.
It was brilliant. Yeah. It was a joy. You're right, it was Leicester Square, not so. And it was a joy to watch, you know, and it was interesting because you are similar in styles. I also think you're similar to Nick. Why has my mind gone blank?
Broomfield.
Yeah, the three of you. There's, when I say similar, I don't mean identical, but that you have similarities. The three of you.
I think there's differences too, though. I think Louis is more interested in being kind of confrontational than I am. Like, I don't want to be confrontational with people because I don't really want to see myself as a kind of representative of normal or righteous society, because I think that brings with it its own problems. So I'm much more interested in kind of being entirely empathetic. And this, I love Louis' stuff. And in fact, I watched a whole bunch of things I hadn't seen before in preparation for that Leicester Square show. And I really admired, what he did, especially his film about the Westboro Baptist Church, which I think is absolutely brilliant, like so empathetic. So I think when Louis does that, that's what I love the most, is when he kind of issues confrontation and instead just goes for empathy. But I'm biased because that's what I like to do.
You showed, I can't wait for his Scientologist documentary to come out, if it ever does, but you showed an interesting clip where he ends up kind of shouting at a Scientologist, which is kind of unusual for him and for anyone in that position.
Yeah, very brave. So basically the Scientologists are kind of filming him, so he starts filming them, and they end up just kind of shouting at each other. And yeah, when I did, I spent time with the Scientologists for the psychopath test, and I made the decision to not be at all confrontational with them to see what would happen in that situation, and you know what would happen if I'm kind of with them and I'm not out to get them. And actually, amazing things happened. They got me into Broadmoor to meet this guy Tony, who claimed he'd faked madness to escape a prison sentence. And none of that would have happened if I hadn't been nice to the Scientologists. However, you know, Louis got something really interesting in sort of prodding the Scientologists. So both, I think both approaches get something interesting, but, you know, I'm sort of happy with my approach.
How did it happen? How did you go from, you know, being the keyboardist in Frank's band and managing a band and to making documentaries for the TV and then writing books and then writing screenplays? It seems that I'm missing the link, the bit in the middle.
Actually, I do know what the link is. It was this magazine in Manchester called City Life.
Right.
And lots of members of the Manfred Del Monte, as well as Mark Kermode, and you know, everybody, they all kind of gravitated towards City Life because it was the only way we could earn any money, because there wasn't any money in indie music or papier-mâché heads at the time.
Yeah.
Not that there was that much money in writing for City Life. You get like 40 quid for interviewing a movie star. So I started writing for City Life, and it just became obvious that I was better at that than I was at being in a band or managing a band, and it came naturally to me. So I sent some City Life stuff down to London, and that got me work with The Guardian, and then that got me like a column at Time Out, and then that got me a TV show, and then I started directing documentaries, and that led to the books and so on.
How do you come up with what your next book is going to be? Do you kind of have a, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and go, I'm going to do Psychopaths, or I'm going to do Shaming, or is it you're just kind of investigating and things sort of come together?
Yeah, I always remember Adam Curtis, who's like my kind of mentor, the documentary maker, always said to me, don't go for themes, go for stories. Just do stories and something will emerge. So that's what I do now. I just sort of look for interesting stories in the hope that some kind of eureka moment will emerge. So it's never like, with one exception, actually, when I was doing the Many Stare at Goats, that was kind of deliberate. Like, I wanted to write about irrational thought in powerful places. And then I just spent ages looking for an appropriate story that would be about that.
Yeah.
And I ended up with the Men Who Stare at Goats. But most of the time, no, I'm off. I'm doing stories and I'm meeting people. And finally, like, I think, oh, that's interesting. I never thought of that. I always want some kind of mystery. It could either be like a specific mystery. Sorry that the dogs are barking. It could either be like a specific mystery. Yeah. I hope it's not an intruder.
Oh, gosh, no, don't.
Yeah. I know.
It's New York, it could be. No, don't. I'm not even going to play that game, because I know you get worried about that. No.
Yeah, I do. Or just me not understanding, like, something about how the world works. Like, why? So that was with my most recent book about public shaming, So You've Been Publicly Shamed. Like, I didn't understand why we were acting on social media in kind of increasingly cruel ways. And so that was the mystery I wanted to solve. And then with the psychopath test, the mystery was, you know, is it true what psychiatrists say, that psychopaths rule the world? Like, that's such a huge thought.
Mm.
And when I really don't know the answer to a question, that's what sort of leads me to go off and try and solve the mystery.
You're off Twitter now. If I wasn't working on a brand new radio station with hardly any listeners, you know, startup station, a new show, I would love to get rid of Twitter, because I hate it. I think it brings out the worst in other people. It brings out the worst in me. And reading your shame book, I am really trying to monitor my behaviour on Twitter. But I find myself saying things and retweeting things that actually I wouldn't want to say or do. Twitter's a weird place, isn't it?
It is weird. It's because, you know, at the heart of a lot of the shamings that people like us get involved in is a kind of righteousness. You know, we're good, liberal, compassionate people. We want to end racism. We want to end misogyny. We want to end, like, systemic failings and so on. And then you see somebody who is perceived to have kind of transgressed in those ways, and good people are going for that person, so we go for that person too, and then it kind of escalates and escalates and escalates, and the next thing you know, we're disproportionately punishing somebody who didn't really do that much wrong. Mm. We're making that person unresponsible for some kind of systemic failing, and then we ruin them, we get them fired, because everybody's terrified of social media, so if we call for somebody to be fired, they get fired. And then quite what often happens is the next day, we find out that the information was all wrong, and that person didn't do anything wrong at all, and now they're in tatters. Over and over again it happens.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, it seems to bring out the... some people are doing it for righteousness, but also it brings out arseholes as well, to be completely honest,
totally.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, like awful kind of hipsters who just don't care about anything. They're just, you know, interested in the kind of joy of doing it. I noticed it the other day with Gay Talese. I mean, he was... the great, you know, legendary journalist Gay Talese was reported as saying some kind of really hoary old, you know, misogynistic nonsense. And so he was, you know, people just went for him in a very hurtful ways. And then, you know, 2 days later, it turns out that he was, you know, misquoted. And his transgression was nowhere near as bad as the way it was reported on Twitter, which is, you know, like the world's worst information swapping service. We're constantly getting stuff wrong. Yeah, it happens every single day. I mean, I'm sick of it. You know, today it's happening to Stephen Fry, who did, you know, say something, or is quoted as saying something pretty unwise today. But, you know, day after day after day, and all of this is creating, you know, what people don't understand, I think, is that shamings are always about something more than the transgression. There's the transgression, but there's also the reason why all these disparate groups, you know, leap on somebody and tear them apart. And then there's what is this doing to the world? And what it's doing is creating this frightened, conservative, conformist society where everybody's thinking twice before they write something. And, you know, all the initial joy of the sort of curiousness of Twitter has gone out the window.
Oh, I think
and it's just fear.
Yeah, I think it's an unpleasant place, but I get to speak to members of the Monkees through it. So that I quite like it for, but the rest of it is pretty poor. John, very quickly, are you allowed to tell us what you're working on now? Is it Hush Hush or are you...
Well, I'll tell you in the kind of broadest way. I'm working on a really interesting project about sex.
Oh, well.
But I don't want to say anything more about what it is.
Okay.
But it's really good. I mean, right now it's really good. I mean, who knows how it's going to be in a few months' time? But I'm really excited about it.
It's so nice to talk to you, John. And thank you so much for coming on. And the few times we met, you've always been so charming to me. So thank you very much.
Oh, Ian, it's been a pleasure. And thank you for being charming too.
Thank you, mate. JohnRonson.com. If you want to go and find out more, John, thank you very much indeed. Go and pick up your wife. JohnRonson.com. Just any of his books are a delight. Ones to dip into, oh, I don't know. Frank is good. They're all good. They're all good books. So go and, you know, go and have a look. John, thank you very much indeed. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Oh, and go and buy The Man from Del Monte. If you like kind of jangly late 80s, early 90s pop, go and buy The Man from Del Monte CD. It'll be on Amazon. You can probably get it for pennies. For pennies, I wouldn't be surprised. After midnight, we'll take your calls straight to air. Don't give us a call now, because calls do cost 7 pence per minute, plus your provider's access charge. Significantly more from mobiles, guys, I should flag up. So don't call now. Wait until we've had the news, and I've had a wee and all of that stuff. But store this phone number in your phones. Talk Radio 0844 499 1000. 0844 499 1000. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. Let's have a little bit of these, please.
Talk Radio.
I've just looked. All the Man from Del Monte CDs cost about 87 quid. So I can do you a tape, guys. Ian Lee, Talk Radio. Call straight to air for the last hour of the show and we'll have a chat and I don't know what we'll do. We'll just see what happens. It was a swimming pool special, but we can talk about whatever you want. 0844 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Wild Man of Late Night Radio is back.
Differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio.
Ian Lee, on air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There we go. 0844 499 1000. You're about to enjoy. Enjoy is maybe the wrong word. Endure. You're about to listen to some radio that you won't hear anywhere else at the moment. You've heard it before in the past. Other people have done Call Straight to Air. Clive Bull had Bob's Tea Break. Tommy Boyd had The Human Zoo. I had Triple M years ago. So you will have heard it before. Who's doing it now? Where's the fun in radio these days? There's none anywhere. John Holmes. I mean, yes, this station. John Holmes is the chunks I listen to, and I can't listen to it all in one go because I'm all over the place, but makes me laugh a lot, partly because he's filthy. Utter filth. But where's the fun in radio, man? There's no fun. So now we'll have some fun in radio if you want. 0844 499 1000. We will take your calls straight to air. I should warn you, there is a 7-second delay. I have a button here, a dump button. It actually says dump. And what that means is if you come on and swear or say something libelous, then I can hit the dump button and that will not be broadcast. So, you know, there are slight caveats. There is no such thing, dear listener. There is no such thing as free speech. It don't exist. It doesn't exist. Where's my free speech? You haven't got it. Certain things you cannot say. Even on talk radio, there are certain things you cannot say. 0844 499 1000. Calls cost 7 pence a minute, plus your provider's access charge. Significantly more from mobiles, I should say. Line 1's on the wireless. Yes, line 1.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Pablo here. I was just calling to say thank you very much for retweeting my podcast that me and a couple of my mates do earlier on today.
I've not listened to it, and I will try and listen to it, but I have so little time to listen to things. Give it a quick plug now. Go on.
Well, it's called Food Torch Films By. It's yep. Basically a podcast. As with all podcasts, it's got to have a slight conceit, which is based around films to watch and the food to eat with them. Either as basically a direct, this would be nice to eat with this film, or as a kind of sly dig or comparative to the film itself.
And how's it doing? Is it all right?
I'm enjoying it, yeah. It's strange enough, it's a friend of mine who I hadn't seen for a good 15 years or so, yeah. And just got in touch. He just started up a podcast and he knew that I was quite well-versed in the medium, not by doing it, just by listening to quite a lot.
You listen to a lot of them, so you know what's good and what's not.
Well, from not necessarily in an applied manner, that's other people to decide.
Yeah.
But just from listening to the man, you know, it's good to have sometimes divisive ideas to try and keep as many people interested as possible. If everybody's agreeing, then it's not necessarily, you know, you're automatically going to cut your audience in half.
Oh, yeah, it's nice to have a little bit of conflict in it, but you don't want to fake the conflict too much. You can have a little bit of fake conflict, but you don't want to fake it too much.
Yeah, well, ultimately, I mean, I've got my segments specifically gory horror films, my segments films to not food by. So specifically, very, very gory films is my specific segment on the show. But it's mainly presented by Johnny and Adam, and they do a grand job, and they let me into my little segment.
And are people downloading it?
As far as I'm aware, as I say, unfortunately, they're both down in Leeds and I'm up in Newcastle, so I just generally Skype in, do my bit, and hear reports back. And
all right, well, good luck. Thank you for coming. I appreciate that. I hope it goes well. 0844 499 1000. See, when I started radio, I'm such an old fart. When I started radio, radio was it. You know, that was how you had to communicate. But now anyone can do it. Whether people, you know, whether it catches the wind and people listen to it and hear it, that's a different thing altogether. Remind me, I'm going to try and I'll play that clip of the angry mom confronting Katy Perry's dad. I'll do that in a minute. Line 2, you're on the wireless.
Evening, Ian.
Evening, mate. Turn your radio off.
Yeah, I have, mate. It's all right. I'm having to listen to it through my phone because I've got a DAB radio in the garage.
Oh, we'll get one.
I've got 3 DAB radios in the house, but I'm going in the garage, you see.
Oh, Russ. Oh, sorry. Yeah. What you got for us, Russ?
I was just ringing up to say what a cracking interview that was with John Ronson.
John, he's good, isn't he? Had you heard of him before?
No, I hadn't. It's such an interesting bloke and seems such a really nice, down-to-earth fella.
He's such a nice man. I don't know him very well at all. I've met him a few times, and he's always been so warm to me. And we sort of... I sort of knew Frank Sidebottom a little bit. He knew him a bit better. But honestly, if you can buy his books... from anywhere, and they are such good reads. He's such a good writer, and he goes out and he investigates stuff, and you know, he ends up in some pretty hair. I didn't get. I was going to ask him. I could have talked to him for ages. I was going to ask him to tell the story about when he mimed eating quite messily to a child, and it looked like he was making a rude gesture instead. It's such a funny story. He's brilliant. Go and buy some books.
Well, I googled him whilst I was listening.
Oh yeah.
Because I was a big fan of Frank Sidebottom. I remember in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, oh, wow, yeah.
He used to go on the old James Well TV show.
Yeah, of course he did. Yeah, of course he did, yeah.
That's where I knew him from, but I didn't know John. So I googled him while I was listening, and it came up with a John Ronson, and it said, author and documentary maker, man who stared at goats. And I thought... this can't be the same. This ain't the same bloke. And I went on his Wikipedia page, and it was all this amazing CV of what he's done, but there was no mention of his Frank Sidebottom days. So I thought, no, this ain't the same bloke. And then not long after, you started talking about these documentaries he's made.
Yeah, same fella.
What an interesting chap.
Men Who Stare at Goats is actually a really good entry-level book of his. It's about American experiments. Don't watch the film, because the film... I mean, watch it, but the film is a fictional account. His book is interviews with American soldiers that would conduct experiments in telekinesis and psychic powers, and it's flipping brilliant.
So it's based
it's like interviews and stuff. The book is a true story. It's not even a fictional. It's him going around meeting these people. Yeah.
Oh, you have to see if you can get him on again. Ian, he's really good.
We'll see. We got some cracking guests coming up soon. We got Danny Baker coming on soon.
Have you?
Baker's coming on. We've got Danny Baker. Charlie Brooker's coming on. We've got Tommy James. Now, you know who Tommy James is, but you don't know who Tommy James is.
Obviously, sir, I don't know.
Tommy James wrote, right, he was never that big over here. He had two hits in the 60s over here. But the rest of his stuff, he got banned from playing over here, right? He's such an interesting man. I'm going to play you two of his songs, right, and you'll know them straight away, right? He wrote...
Right.
Hang on a second, let me turn my computer on, right. He wrote this. Hang on. He's coming on Thursday, I think. Right, here we go. Do you recognise it?
Oh, yeah.
Right, he wrote that... Right. So that was one of his hits. He also wrote this, and this is the version. Hang on, here we go. Oh, hang on, there's an advert. Let me mute the advert for the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Are they still going? Flippin' heck. Right, hang on. He wrote this. Do you recognise it?
I think we're alone now.
Oh yes.
Children behave. That's what they say when we're together. And watch how you play. They don't understand, and so we're running just as fast as we can. Holding on to one another's hands. Trying to get away into the night. And then we put your arms around you, and we hold them to the ground. And then we say, I think we're alone, Russ. There doesn't seem to be anyone around.
He's coming on.
All right.
Yes.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Russ, good to talk to you, mate. Thank you very much indeed. Let's take one more before we go to a break. Let's go to line two. Two, you're on the wireless.
Hi.
Hello, Ken. I've seen a picture of you on a giant wooden horse.
Okay, what do you think?
I think you are a very brave man. Did it move at all? I mean, obviously it didn't run, but did it rock back and forwards?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, did you get a sore bottom?
I was 10 stone overweight on that horse.
Bless you. You're a big lad. But well done you for having a crack.
Well, you've got to give it a go, ain't we?
You've got to give it a go. You dropped 750 quid. Did you have a good time?
I had a lovely time.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back again next year.
Beautiful. And spend your dole money.
Well, the taxpayers' money.
Here we go. And good for you. Good for you. We're not one of those stations that would have a go at you. I think, listen, if you're on the dole, or you're on your job seeker's allowance, whatever they call it these days, and you want to spend it... What's it?
ESA.
What's ESA?
Employment Support Allowance.
Beautiful. If you're on the ESA... And you want to, instead of buying food or clothes or transport to go to job interviews, you want to have a gamble on the horses. Good luck to you, buddy.
Thank you. And may I leave on one final note?
Yes.
Bloody...
Blimey.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I had an Italian boyfriend then. I was young and cruel when I sent him away.
I would offend him, I'd say, Michela, 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 lasciami.
And my Italian boyfriend, he followed me from room to room.
Oh, man. The man from Del Monte, seriously, I've got it, you haven't.
I'd say, Michela, 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 lasciami.
Here we go.
But now.
I'm going with a girl from Lancashire. I want to learn the native language here. Who can teach me to translate?
Lashamay, lashamay, lashamay. Lashamay, lashamay, lashamay. Lashamay, 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 lashamay.
La 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 la.
Oh, man alive. Oh, man alive. The man from Del Monte, dear listeners. You don't know what you were missing. Where were you at the what was that club? The Borderline. The Borderline. Man. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We never got round to talking. You can talk about the stuff that we've talked about. You can talk about John Ronson, or you can come on and, you know, fart down the phone if you want. Literally do whatever you want. We never got round to talking. By the way, Periscope, I think, has been knackered this evening. It keeps crashing on you guys. I can only apologise, but it's nothing to do with me. £8 for a box of... what did they call it? No, hang on, let me rephrase that. £8 for a book of stamps. £8 for a book of stamps? I mean, it's... yes, I suppose, really, it's incredible that for 67 pence you can send a letter from here to God knows where. But it struck me. I remember, I mean, I haven't bought an individual stamp for years. It's like buying an individual cigarette. I remember when the first class was like 23 pence or something. And what's the difference between first class and second class, really? 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Bad news for blind people. As if being blind wasn't bad enough. You're never going to guess who's doing their braille, who's writing their braille for them. You're never going to guess it. Paedophiles, that's who. Paedophiles. Paedophiles. So the blind people will be touching the braille that has been touched by a paedophile. Pedo jail, Pedo jail, braille fail is the headline in the Sun. It's the actual headline. 0844 499 1000. Pedo jail, braille fail. Oh, we're on talk radio now. I wonder if Porn for the Blind is still a functioning website. Hang on a second. Blind.org, I think it was. Porn for the Blind. What it was some people, some very kind-hearted, generous people would... I think they might have taken the website down, actually. Let me have a look. Hang on. Blind. Some very kind-hearted, generous people. There we go. Pornforthblind.org would record audio descriptions of pornography for blind people. I'm aware I can play this because I'm aware I've got a dump button, and I'm aware that Id's got a dump button, and we can see how this goes. They would watch pornographic scenes and describe them, audio descriptions, so that blind people could. Big Sausage Pizza, I'm going to click on. There's hundreds of these things. Let's, you know. Here we go.
Porn for the Blind presents Big Sausage Pizza.
Okay.
This is a 35-second preview clip located at http://
Okay, we don't need to know the exact location of where that pornography is, but it's on the
internet. BigSausagePizza.com /playtrailer.php NATS=MTM
Okay.
ZO.
Get to the raunchy bit. Get to the raunchy bit. I don't want to hear the intricacies.
:0, :0, :0
Now he's got
ampersand qualify.
He's got a sexy voice. So this is going to be very, very erotic. 19. Here we go. Big Sausage Pizza.
The page's main banner displays a large kielbasa layered over a thin crust pepperoni pizza.
Okay.
Multiple taglines read, where every pizza includes a big sausage.
There we go. Nice.
Every
fun.
Pizza comes with a big tasty sausage, okay. Whether you ordered it or not.
I think sausage means penis.
And
but
we deliver. Scrolling down the page,
get to the
pictures
clip.
Of various girls are shown reacting to the delivery man, who is sitting on the couch giving a thumbs up to the camera. There is an open pizza box on his lap.
Yep.
His penis is protruding from a hole in the center of the
box. Okay, I think... And on it goes. And I think we...
One is bent over...
There we go. I think we get...
Massaging the penis...
Okay, but I think we get the idea there. Dearie me. And the thing is, though, for visually... People who have got sight, eyesight... We're used to being able to look at this stuff and finding this stuff. And for people who are visually impaired, that stuff isn't there. So I say, how do I delete my browser history? That's what I say. How do I delete my internet searching history? Just in case. Can't be too careful these days. Anyway. Pedo jail, braille fail. Pedophiles are being paid to translate children's books into braille in prison. Wow. Sex offenders and other cons... get up to £18 per week while inside to convert text. But critics last night... 0844-499-1000, by the way. But critics last night blasted the scheme as inappropriate. David Spencer... How do you translate into Braille? Is it... I never understood in court, right? Is the stenographer? Is it the stenographer? Is that the word?
Yeah, that's weird.
They don't have a typewriter. They have a weird typewriter that's got about... I've never seen one close up. 12 keys? Less than that. 8 keys.
Probably less letters and more sounds that it...
Sounds?
Tight.
What do you mean sounds?
Like, you know, instead of
ooh.
S and an H, there'd be a button for sh on the key. I don't know.
Ooh. Shoot. Okay, well, we've got shoot. How does that work? The court is a mystery to me. It won't be for much longer, but it's a mystery to me. The courtroom artist and the stenographer just typing away... Because they type quickly, man. How does that work? Hang on, maybe line one. Do you know how stenographers work?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Ian. How you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, I'm confused by stenographers.
Stenographers?
Stenographers.
Stenographers. I haven't got a clue what that is, mate.
It's the people that type in courtrooms, but they use a special typewriter.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how it works, though.
Okay, great, that's great. What have you got for us?
John Ronson.
Yes.
Just wanted... Did you ever listen to his documentary he did on Radio 4?
Which one?
He did a... It was called John Ronson On, and it was a different story every week.
I heard some of them, and I've not heard all of them. And you reminded me that I did start working... They're all on YouTube. I started working through them on YouTube, and I didn't continue, so I shall do that. Thank you.
All of the MP3s are on his website as well.
Oh, are they? What, can you download them?
Yeah, he's got them all on his website. You can download them all.
I'm going to do that now. Brilliant. All right, nice one.
But, have you ever heard of a band called The Shags?
Oh, baby! This is where my computer is going to let me down. Hang on one second. Have I got... stay there. Have I got The Shags on... Do you know, I was fingering my Shags CD the other day thinking, oh, I should really take that in... But I haven't got the Shags on here, unfortunately.
They're the ones that had never heard music before.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, that's the one.
Go on, you explain it for everyone else.
Their dad basically wanted them to be pop stars. I think there were three girls, and he basically locked them in a room and told them to write songs, and they hadn't even listened to music. They didn't know about music. They didn't have a clue. So basically it's the sound of three girls just creating music from nothing.
But it's It's beautiful. When I say beautiful, beautiful is, you can stretch the word beautiful sometimes to different meanings. It's certainly unique.
Yes,
the other place unique. I worked, the last place I worked at, right, was a BBC local radio station. And I would quite often, I would play the Shags on there. Over Wally Webb, who was this gentleman who was on before me, and it was quite old-fashioned radio. And he'd go, right, well, now coming up, we've got Paul McCartney and Jet. And then I'd play the I'd go into the Shags until he complained. Rightfully so, actually, rightfully so. On the internet, the internet's all to cock today, because I'm trying to play the Shags, and it's hang on a minute, let's try and play My Pal Footfoot. By the Shags. He interviewed them, well, obviously now as they are, didn't he?
Yes, he did on one of his shows, yeah. Apparently Kurt Cobain was a big fan of the Shags as well.
It's a fan is probably stretching it a little bit. I don't know why the internet is playing up. Hang on, let's try Philosophy of the World. That's the one I remember as being the hit. Come on, internet, do my bidding. Here we go. The Shags.
Oh, the rich people want what the poor people's got. And the poor people want what the rich people's got.
And isn't it true? Today it fits in today. See, they're singing about David Cameron. Frank Zappa rated the Shags as the third best band in history. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. What was your name?
Wayne,
thank you for that, Wayne. I appreciate the reminding of the Shags. Yes, it's an actual band. How the hell did they not set the world alight with that? Speaking of setting the world alight, it's everyone's favourite arsonist, Line 2.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, buddy. What you got for us, Dennis?
They sound as though they're shagged out that lot.
Yeah, exactly. They've been rocking hard in the free world. There we go. They've never heard music before, and then they come out with that.
Stenographers.
I'm good, thank you, buddy. Turn your radio off, Dennis. Steady?
No, a stenographer is only typing just like they do with shorthand. But, it's a shorthand machine.
A shorthand machine. So they're typing the shorthand symbols.
Yeah, well, they used to do it just with a pencil, didn't they?
Right, well, my mum used Pitman 2000. I used to have to test my mum on her shorthand when she was learning it.
Well, these days they use a little machine to do the same job.
Use your finger like everybody else.
No, you don't know where the finger's been.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, if you'd rather use your dictaphone, then of course you can do. 0844 499 1000.
The Wild Man of Late Night Radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
God, you can never please anybody in this world.
Anyway, and on it goes. Can I play you something that a friend of mine sent me?
Go on.
Let me type in YouTube. Katy Perry, Dad, Devil Child. There we go.
Right.
Now,
her parents are really religious.
Yes, they are. Right. And here's a clip of a mum. I've not seen her new video for a song called E.T. And apparently, she has sex with, like, an alien in it.
Right.
And listen to my friends. This is I found this absolutely fascinating. This clip, if it plays, here we go.
Mr. and Mrs. Hudson.
Yeah.
You're the daughter of Katy Perry.
Mum and dad. Please. So there's a man pushing this. This woman's got a camera.
Katy Perry. Do you
and
know
this man's
that
pushing
she is
it away.
One of the most wicked people.
You're trespassing.
She is a satanic
that's not her, that's
woman
not Katy
who has led
dad.
Millions
please.
To
he
hell.
He comes in.
All right,
and you claim to have a ministry.
Right. Here comes Katy Perry's
you
dad.
You claim to have a ministry. No, sir.
Hey, I minister all over. Right,
then minister to your daughter, because that is needed more than ever. Okay. You ought to know better. When you have a girl that walks with Satan the way she does. Did you see her latest video?
You got kids?
I do, and I have no relationship with my son because he is...
Oh, no. Oh, the internet. Damn you, internet.
And there's the nub of it.
Well, I don't know why it's running so slowly. We'll try a
bit. Is it because you went to that site that described...
Yeah, Porn for the Blind. I'm going to close everything else on here. Look, so let's see if it will...
I heard a bit of that and I just kept thinking, I quite fancy a pizza.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really hungry. Here we go. Here we go.
She does. Did you see her latest video?
You got kids?
I do. And I have no relationship with my son because he is walking away from the Lord and he exploits it.
Before you point your finger at me, why don't you point your finger at
because
you?
Because I...
Oh, the blooming internet. What is wrong with this place? Thing is, she's got a point.
Why?
She's got a point.
Mm.
Right. Supposedly a religion... And I have the same issue with Beyonce. Beyonce is supposedly a Christian, right? But I've seen her shows, right? It's flipping... It's soft porn, man. I've been to a couple of Beyonce concerts. It's soft porn. Hang on, it carries on.
Called Tough Love. My son is playing in the road, and I discipline. You allow Katy Perry to play in the highway, and she is taking you to hell right along with her, including millions of young women and young men who are listening to her videos.
I have nothing to do with that.
Yes, you do, because you just said, and I just watched your program. You just said.
You think you're acting like a Christian right now?
Yes, I am, because I am rebuking you because my kid watches your kid's videos and it's sending him to hell because of the choice he made because of your daughter and your lack of discernment and direction.
Right, that bit's a bit wrong, because the choices he made are ultimately his choices and he's responsible for his actions, the son that she's talking about.
And people were shouting the same stuff about Elvis.
But... Oh, come on,
they were.
Catherine.
They
come
were.
On. Come on. All right.
Don't shoot him from the waist down, because that's going to pervert people.
Oh, yeah, but Elvis wasn't having sex with aliens in the video.
I haven't seen the video. Have you
all
seen
right,
it?
Well, no.
Let's
all
have
right.
a look at
well,
it.
All right, fine. We'll get the video then, if you want to do that. I think her argument is flawed, because we all have a responsibility for our own actions, unless, of course, we are mentally ill.
And I have to say, do you know what? It does worry me about the sort of pornification of this generation.
You've got two little girls.
Yeah, it does. But that's my responsibility as a parent to guide them in the right direction, isn't it? There are these influences out there, but there are plenty of influences that I don't approve of. But, you know, you give them a solid foundation and hope they make the right choices.
Right, it features Kanye West. So already I'm thinking, flipping it. We don't want to hear the song, right? It's just because it's like the first couple of bars of the song. The internet is being really, really slow. That's an advert. I don't want to play that advert. Hang on a second. We can skip the advert. Has anyone ever watched an advert right through to the end on YouTube?
When you have the option of skipping, no.
Okay, so this is Katy Perry's video, E.T. It's 5 years old, right?
Oh, well, then I've seen it.
Well, I've not seen it. So she have sex with an alien in it?
Not really.
What do you mean, not really? I'm going to skip forward a bit. I'm going to get to the wrong shit.
It's just...
Oh, shut up, Muppet. There we go, right, she's floating in space. There's an alien, right?
Yeah.
Is she, or is she not, going to have it away with that?
I don't remember.
Is that E.T.? That's not... No, look, they made it look as much like E.T. as they can without being sued by Steven Spielberg. Which songwriter, one of America's greatest songwriters, wrote a song based on the E.T. theme? It's one of his last hits. He's still alive and was sued by Steven Spielberg.
Shaggy.
Nope. Shut up, man. At the time the film came out. All right, she's dressed up as a...
she's an alien. That's okay, then.
Yeah, no, she's... Well...
They're both aliens. That's
she's
okay.
dressed up as an intergalactic sexual goddess.
Yeah, so she's an alien.
Right. Oh, wait, 444991000. She's floating
this is
around
a really
in space.
Good song.
I bet it's not.
It is.
I like fireworks.
No, it's a good song.
She's all like... Okay, so she's copying Bjork and Lady Gaga. There's a cockatoo, which are... I like a cockatoo. Anyway, I don't. Anyway,
there's nothing obscene there.
Oh, you.
You need to get alive.
There we go. There's a lizard. There we go. She's having sex.
No, she's.
She's
not.
Having. She's totally having sex.
She's not.
You saw her toes clench.
That.
Who clenches their toes?
Maybe that's how aliens reproduce.
Hang on. Here we go. There's a robot. She's gonna have it away. She's gonna have it away with a robot in a junkyard.
She's not.
Yeah, she is. She's wiping its balls.
She's not.
That's an alien. That is a robot. She is engaged in carnal activity. There we go. With the robot.
No, she's not.
There we go.
She's just looking in his eyes.
There we go.
How many eyes has he got?
There we go. Three. There we go. There we go. There we go.
There's nothing going on.
There we go.
There's nothing going on.
There we go.
No.
He's going to put on some designer sunglasses. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh, what a load of nonsense. Really? Come on.
She was right.
No, she wasn't.
The mother... I'm not being ridiculous.
Yeah, you are. She was being more ridiculous, but you're being ridiculous.
Look, they're naked. Look, they're naked, and she's got a tail in a junkyard.
She's an alien.
Flipping heck. The thing is, right, and this is... And I'm being serious when I say, I do think that mum had a really good point. The pop industry...
Katy Perry's 30. Was her dad supposed to smack her bum and send her to bed?
You couldn't smack that. You get caught on the tail. The thing is, right, the thing is... Hang on, line one, you agree with me, don't you?
You made it a bit difficult for a phone-in straight away with this topic, mate.
Well, no, because you... But no, I'm not. I made it easy. I've given you a topic when I don't need to. I could just sit here and wait for the calls.
Well, I was going to talk about guests you could have on, but...
Go on.
If he's a minister...
Yeah.
If she's not actually in his church anymore, which I presume she's an adult and living her life now...
Yeah.
Then... He can hope that she gets saved in his religion.
He doesn't think she's doing anything wrong.
Well, has he said that?
Yeah.
He didn't say that.
He said it in that thing. He said, I don't think she's doing anything wrong.
He said
Beyonce's dad was her manager. Have you seen the film? Do you know what? The video for Crazy in Love, flipping it, the first time I watched that, well, oh, dearie me, you don't want to know. Seriously, I could not believe what I was watching.
But they're all like that. I'm not saying that that's right. But
you love your children. You don't necessarily love what they do with their life.
Exactly.
But she was right, but that mum was right to say that Katy Perry and pop videos are sexualising our children.
Yeah, they are.
And they are, do you know what, I'm going to say it, I think they're part of the downfall of modern civilisation.
Yeah,
seriously.
That leaves with her, not her father. Her father probably doesn't approve of the videos either.
He loves them!
No, he doesn't. My dad would be flipping mortified.
Well, that's your dad. Katy Perry's dad thinks they're all right.
I wouldn't be happy with my daughter getting into the pop industry like that.
I wouldn't. What is wrong?
You don't know my daughter.
How old's your daughter? Is she going to be...
15.
She's 15?
Yeah.
Does she want to be a pop star? They all want to be pop stars these days. Does she want to?
Nah, she's more into cosplay and...
Cosplay?
And all that.
Flipping heck!
But she won't do the tarty cosplay. She's very strict on that.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay. Okay. Why is she into cosplay? That's a weird thing for a 15-year-old girl in Wales to be into.
Well, I was into science fiction and all that when I was a kid, and there was nothing around for me. But I like showing her all science fiction and comics, and she got into it. And with the internet, it's great. She's got local friends. She's got international friends.
What's that new film that's just come out this week? Midnight Express or something?
Well, no. What? That was the comedy, Midnight Express.
No, you're thinking of Midnight Run with Robert De Niro and that bloke. It's got one of my favourite... Yes, it's got one of my favourite... It's such a funny film. It's one of those films. It's full of swears, but they'd show it on 5:45 on a Saturday afternoon, and it will be Mother Fluffer and stuff like that. Well, it's got one of my favourite lines with...
One of the last good Robert De Niro films, to be honest.
Yeah, it was one of the last... Charles Grodin, right, is this con man. And Charles Grodin... Robert De Niro is a bounty hunter. He's got to get him all the way across the other side of America, right? And Charles Grodin says... he says, right, we're going to go on a plane. He goes, I can't go on a plane. What's the fear of flying?
Yeah, he uses that fake. Wow.
He says, I've got whatever it is phobia. He says, you're going to have fistophobia in a minute if you don't go. And it's just delivered. So you're going to have fistophobia in a minute. It's such a good film, right? Do you know what? I'm going to order. I bet I can get that for tuppence on here. I'm going to order Midnight Run.
Yeah, he plays a doctor in the Louis C.K. films, doesn't he, that?
He does what?
He plays a doctor in the Louis C.K. programme, Louis.
I've not watched... What, Charles Grodin does?
Yeah, he's, like, he lives in the house, in the apartment block. He's
I've not doctor. Watched that programme. Is it any good?
Yeah, it is. It's like, really good.
Midnight Run, DVD, 34 pence. Come on, guys!
Yeah, but you got to pay £2 postage, too.
That is how they make their money. That's the great thing.
With why I haven't bought stamps in about 6 years.
Hey, we brought it back round. Go on.
Because I get so much stuff off eBay.
Yeah.
And because they come in strange packets, the post office don't stamp the stamps.
Hang on a minute. Yeah, go on.
So I cut out everything I've sent, even if it's like a single letter, has a second-class large packet stamp on it that I've just recycled.
Hey, that's flipping brilliant. I mean, it's illegal, and obviously we don't condone it. Of course. Of course we don't condone it, and I will be reporting you to the authorities. But I'd never thought of that.
Sometimes the postman scribbles with pen if they haven't postmarked it.
He knows your game.
But no, what's a pen mark on a single stamp?
Beautiful. Yeah. Hey, mate, that's fantastic.
Quick.
thank you for that tip. I don't think I got your name, fella.
Craig.
Craig, thank you, Craig. I appreciate that.
No worries, but I was going to say, get guessing. I was already going to say Charlie Brooker, but he's on now.
Charlie Brooker. Yeah, someone tweeted me and Charlie Brooker. And be careful playing that game, guys, because I've also been started conversations with people I don't want to book.
Yeah.
I only want to get people that I really like. And someone tweeted me and Charlie Brooker saying, you should get Charlie Brooker on. And I messaged him, and he said, yeah, I'll be up for that. So let's see what happens. Go on, who else?
Well, Josie Long, I know you've had on before.
Josie Long's a good one, actually. Are you aware of Josie Long's work? She's very, very funny.
Yeah.
I remember she came in to Absolute once when I was there, and she brought her sister in, who was a drunk hairdresser. She wasn't, like, drunk all the time, but she was drunk, and she just won an award at the International Hairdressing
Awards.
For drunk hairdressing. I've just ordered Midnight Run. Look, I'm terrible, me. yeah, Josie Long's an excellent idea, actually.
Emma Kennedy. Do you know her?
She's been really nice about me online, Emma Kennedy. She's been very nice.
Oh, yeah, when you had the controversy, yeah.
the controversy,
one.
Yes.
The incidents. Catelyn Moran as well.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about Catelyn Moran.
Oh, I love Catelyn Moran.
You should interview her then. You get her on an interview.
No, because, you know, I like her too much. If it's awful, I'll hate myself.
Oh, she's good on anything. You watch anything she's on and... She's just there, you know. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about her. I'll have to. And a couple of people have suggested people that I don't know a lot about, and I'm looking into.
Hey,
actually.
Craig, have you read her book, How to Be a Woman?
I've got it on audiobook.
You need to listen. You need to listen to it because it will open your eyes to what your daughter's going through.
Oh, I know, and I've seen her new video where she's. Because she's got a new book, Morgan. Oh, what's the thing?
Manifesto.
Yeah. And she's got, like, 4 or 5 YouTube videos up about that. And one of them to girls that come to see her.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just amazing, yeah. I sort of got it for my daughter to listen to, but, like, you know.
You ever listen to it as well, honestly. You won't regret it.
Yeah. And I've got the other book as well, the Times Column one she did as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's all audiobooks. I'm too lazy to read.
Craig, listen, I've got to go because I'm so late for a break.
Yeah,
Listen, nice to talk to you, mate. I can never get by with audiobooks. The only one I ever got by with was when I was 8, and it was Batman. And it was... who's the guy that had a big... what's it? Not Errol Flynn, the other one. Roddy McDowell.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Oh, Roddy McDowell.
My mum had a cactus called Errol Flynn.
There we go, you see.
Massive.
And the only bit I remember from it was... he was talking about the Joker playing some music, and he went... And the Joker's music went... Boom shakalaka laka, boom shakalaka laka, boom shakalaka laka, boom.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Line one, you're on the wireless. Hello. Oh, let me try. Line two. Nope. Chipping Norton. Try again. Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844 499 1000. Calls cost 7p a minute, plus your provider's access charge. Significantly more from mobile phones, guys. Don't forget you can download a best of podcast every day as well if you want. John Ronson's in that podcast, is he?
Yeah. A lot of John Ronson. The whole thing.
Yeah. That's right. I see you. Pedo jail, braille fail.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lie. What else is in the papers? There's not a lot in the papers today, actually. They're a little bit dry. I tell you what's in the papers.
Go on.
The answer to what's wrong with this flipping country. What's wrong with the world? Not this country. What's wrong with the world?
Is it Beyonce or Katy Perry now?
No, I'll tell you exactly what it is.
Go on.
And this is... No, but don't do that face, because it annoys me, because this is genuine. This is genuinely what's wrong with the world. The Daily Mirror. Going to open it up. Right. Fitness for work staff mock the disabled.
Oh.
No, I'm not. This isn't even what's wrong with the world. Right? Assessors brag on film of cashing in. A fitness for work assessor for government contractor Capita boasted he flew through vital welfare disability tests, earning himself 20 grand a month. And another derided a disabled claimant as needing help to wipe her arse because she's too flipping fat to do it herself. This is for a Channel 4 programme, right? Gets a tiny, tiny little bit on page two, mm-hmm. whereas no one reads the left page, the even numbers. This is why they will hide stories away or apologies on the left-hand side, because no one reads it. Your eyes are always drawn to the right-hand side, OK? So if you look at that, so the thing about disabled people being mocked by the assessors, tiny thing, page three, it's all about Britain's Got Talent. That's what's wrong with this country, not the country, the world. That's what's wrong with the world. Wherever he goes on the world, Alex Magala lives life on a knife edge. So it's a man who can swallow swords is a whole page three. And the fact that disabled people are being mocked when they go and apply for benefits and stuff is a tiny... It's a third of a page, the left-hand page, that no one reads. That's what's wrong with this world, is that we consider that, the fact that a muscular bloke can swallow a sword, fair play, it's impressive. He's put a nail in his nose, he's hitting with a block of wood. It's impressive, but it's page three, the whole of the page is an advert for a multi-millionaire's television show, right? The fact that disabled people are laughing at them, because they're disabled and they can't wipe their own backsides, which actually they can't, some of them, and this woman perhaps can't, gets a third of a page on a page that no one reads. I was looking at this and I was staring at them, what's wrong? It's outrageous!
But who's made that decision? Is it the people who were buying it who have made that happen?
No, it's not.
Because they're giving us what we want, aren't they?
No, they're not giving us what we want. They're not giving us what we want. When we worked at BBC Local Radio, were we giving people what they wanted? We might have been, but the whole of BBC Local Radio wasn't. Mm. It was what the suits thought people wanted.
Right.
But we know for a fact, right, that people, you, dear listener, are way more intelligent than the Muppets that run BBC Local Radio, right? Think. Way more intelligent. And I have to believe that the same applies for papers. If you know, we've got the Daily Star if you want that kind of stuff. We're more intelligent.
I am surprised at the Mirror, because it's supposed to be socialist paper.
We deserve better than this. And the thing is, right, I've been on David Icke's website too long, that we just accept it. We accept it. And we know from working in radio, right, the boss has said, you've got to tone it down, you've got to dumb it down. They didn't use the phrase dumb it down, but you've got to make it the safest possible thing you can do, right? That's why I got the boot.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't safe.
I was going to say, not here they've not, but we've saw that before. People don't get it, they said.
Yeah, exactly. And it really annoys me. Genuinely, I saw this earlier on and I got so peed off about it. Hang on a second. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hello, Ian.
Yeah, you're on the air.
My name's Marty, and I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin.
Are you really?
I'm a Periscope. I watch on Periscope.
Hey, and, man, it says Chipping Norton on my thing. It says you're calling from Oxfordshire. for you.
I have a phone plan that I have 1,000 minutes that I can call anywhere in the world.
Oh, baby.
So I have a few questions about the show.
Uh-oh. I'll do my best to answer, but I may not be able to. Go on, yes.
By the way, Catherine is really awesome.
Now, when you say awesome... Well, I forgot your name. Sorry.
It's Marty.
Marty, okay. When you say awesome, do you mean hot or an intelligent and funny co-host and producer?
Yes.
Excellent answer.
Thanks,
I like it.
I think.
Okay, Marty, go on. What do you want to know?
Okay.
So, we're looking at
and
you.
That was a compliment. As far as callers calling in, do they need to be drunk? Or is that just... Did that just happen?
I don't know if we've had any drunk callers tonight.
Not tonight. On Friday night we get them.
Yeah, they've kind of all been straight tonight, I think, Marty.
Also, is there a wiki for all the people that call in? Like, I know Nigel and I think Dennis, but I'm starting to learn the characters on the callers of the show.
I don't know what a wiki is. Do you mean a Wikipedia page? You don't, do you?
Yeah.
You do?
Uh-huh.
On the callers? No, I don't. No.
Okay. And also, I had a question as far as, I think that would be a good idea for the listeners that don't know the history, especially of Nigel. I'm starting to get that he's a little bit of a musician.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. I know more about some callers than I do about others. But also, and I know that some people have heard some of the callers on other shows that I've done or other shows other people have done. But listen, man, there's no rush. There's no rush, Marty. I'm here for, hopefully, I've got a 2-year contract at least, right? I'm happy if this is my final resting place. I will be very happy with that, actually. But I'm here for 2 years. It's only week 4. There's no rush. Enjoy the journey.
So I'm enjoying it so far, but I have one last question.
Go on.
I was listening to you talk about Katy Perry,
yeah.
And I'm older than you. I actually went to the internet and looked up and saw how old you were. Your music tastes,
yeah.
Geez, how do I put this?
Gosh,
it's like my parents listened to that,
right? And your parents had great taste. What's wrong with the Beach Boys?
Or the Monkees?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well. Okay. You tell me any other bands that are touring to celebrate their 50th anniversary. Here's the thing, Marty.
They're dead.
One of them's
most
dead.
Of the other band.
1967, the Monkees sold twice as many records as the Beatles, and the Rolling Stones put together. Boom.
And you.
Yeah. Boom.
Yeah.
I won that, didn't I?
Taste and sales don't always go together.
No, you're right. They don't always. But I'm a big believer of if it works for you, man, it works for you.
Well, my question is, as far as your age, you are 40, right?
Go on, why not? Yeah.
Okay, because when I saw your picture, I thought you were 30. And when I started listening to you going on about music,
yes,
I thought you were maybe 50.
Oh, but so 40. I'm 42. You may have looked at an old picture. I am getting a little bit fatter and a bit grayer, and I have a beard now.
Do you remember Warrant by any chance?
Warrant.
Yeah, the band Warrant from the 80s.
I don't. I'm not really into 80s music.
Yeah, they had a song called Cherry Pie. There also was a band called White Snake.
I remember White
Snake. Had Tawny Catane dancing on top of a car, sexually, explicitly, in that way.
Oh, Cherry Pie, yeah,
I'm not sure that the MTV and sexualization is anything new.
No, it's not new, but as we get older, as we kind of move through time and new pop stars come up, they always have to trump what the previous generation has done. So, yeah, I know the Cherry Pie and sexual songs and stuff and all of that. But the videos now, you have to admit, the videos now are way more sexual than the... I mean, I know this is a cliche, but Hannah Montana, what was her name?
Yeah, Miley Cyrus.
Naked on a wrecking ball. I mean, guys, come on, we get it. And I know it's not her...
Does it hit any buttons when you kind of hear what you're saying and, like, hear your parents in your head?
Yeah. Maybe they were right. Maybe we need to listen to our parents more. Maybe.
Yeah.
Are you a dad, Marty?
My son is 25, so.
Well, hang on, yeah. How old are you? 38.
I'm older than you. Yeah. I'm 48.
48. Okay. Well, yeah. Maybe you'd think differently if you had girls.
I kept a lid on my kids media watching when they were growing up.
Give them a good whopping. Did you give them a good whopping?
I just locked everything down.
Good for you. Listen, Marty, I've got to go because we're at the end of the show, mate. But thanks for calling.
All right.
Speak
Thank
again.
You.
Yeah? Take care. Thank you very much indeed. There we go. Look at that, you see.
Wisconsin.
Well, that's exciting, isn't it? I mean, he's wrong on everything he was saying. I'm teasing. Thank you, Marty. I look forward to speaking to you again. Isn't it funny? The phone system here is so queer. It said he was calling from Oxfordshire.
Chipping Norton.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny?
A more English-sounding place you couldn't find.
Oh, man alive. Guys, that's it. Catherine, if you need to go and do the pod,
I do.
Go. That's it, guys. That's your lot. Thank you very much for a Monday show. That was a corker, actually. Thank you very, very much indeed. Thank you, John Ronson. Do go to johnronson.com or Amazon and look at his books, because he's just such a good writer. Go and get the best of podcast, please. We'll be back Tuesday night, tonight at 10 o'clock. Thank you, mate.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.